breast cancer. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We are reaching out to you to make a difference this month by making a personal donation to the Komen Foundation and by showing your passion for the cure by wearing pink one or more days in October. Anything you can do to heighten the awareness of this cause can make a difference. To share your promise and to donate funds to our passion, log on to 1320leftchannel.com.
AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel, streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Lou Milliano. The Esperanza fire in Southern California burning wild for 2 days now, and Valerie McAdam has the mind-numbing numbers.
We have 25,000 acres. It's 5% contained. We have previously lost 10 structures. At this time, we currently have 500 residential structures threatened.
Annex reporter Ron Kilgore says the wind is still the problem.
Here on the western edge, which is the southwest edge of the entire fire, this community is up into the mountainous areas, and so they're trying to keep it away from those areas as well. But the wind is whipping all different directions right now, and this is becoming the major problem for them. So they're having to put engines at almost every house.
The fast-moving fire has burned 38 square miles of Southern California. Seeking to resolve some high-profile bickering over what happens next in Iraq, the U.S. ambassador and Iraq's prime minister have issued a joint statement affirming a commitment to peace and security in Iraq. Over the past few hours, CBS News correspondent Ken McCormick says that's hardly been the rule.
In Baghdad, in the past several hours, operations have been underway in Sadr City to locate a soldier abducted on Monday, a linguist of Iraqi descent who was taken by gunmen during a visit to his relatives. There have also been gun battles in central Baghdad, although it's not clear if that's related.
McCormick says 97 American troops have been killed this month, with another death reported today in Diyala province. Game 5 of the World Series. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman is there in St. Louis.
Here outside Busch Stadium, some of the Cardinal fans are preparing to celebrate even before the game.
Tonight's a night. World Championship tonight.
Inside the stadium, St. Louis manager Tony La Russa may not sound excited, but he says he is.
Part of the fun is being excited. You know, I'm not trying to... Or our club is not trying to be cool.
If the Cardinals win, they will capture their first World Series championship since 1982. If the Tigers win, it's back to Detroit for Game 6. Steve Futterman, CBS News at Busch Stadium in St. Louis.
In North Carolina, Durham's district attorney says he still hasn't interviewed a woman who accuses three Duke lacrosse players of raping her. Mike Nifong said in court today that he's talked to the woman about how she's doing, but not about specific details of the case. Outside the court,
Mr. Nifong did admit that he, in fact, has basically never talked to this woman and has absolutely no idea what her story is, and yet he has chosen to continue to go forward with this case.
Defense attorney Joseph Cheshire scratching his head. However, Nifong defends himself.
I think things are proceeding about the way that we expected they would.
A negative day in trading today, what with Commerce Department reporting the economy grew at the slowest pace in more than 3 years. The Dow closed off the day at 73, down 73. The NASDAQ was down 28. This is CBS News.
You, playing Texas Hold'em with Mozart, fairies, kings, queens, albino aardvarks, karaoke singing koalas, the Sun City kickball team, wearing flippers, Sasquatch and Nessie holding hands at sunset in the Grand Canyon. Dreams, they can be strange and magical. But if you can't sleep, you can't dream. So ask your doctor about Rosarum, a sleep aid like no other. Approved for adults having trouble falling asleep. Rosarum is the first and only prescription sleep aid that in clinical studies shows no potential for abuse or dependence. So you can get to sleep. And maybe your dreams will get to see you again.
Don't take Rosarum if you're taking Lubox, Fluvoxamine, or have severe liver problems. Avoid taking it with alcohol. Don't drive or operate machinery until you know how you'll react to Rosarum. Rosarum may affect certain hormones. Consult your doctor about how this may affect you, or if you're insomnia doesn't improve. Take Rosarum right before bed. Side effects may include drowsiness, fatigue, and dizziness. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor today if Rosarum is right for you. For more information, call 1-877-ROSARUM-1. See our ad in Prevention Magazine or visit Rosarum.com.
Swimming babies, dancing babies, singing babies.
It was horrific when discovered. A family of four gunned down on the Florida Turnpike. Now CBS News correspondent Peter King says there was more there than met the eye.
It's no longer considered a random act.
This was a deliberate act of premeditated murder.
And there is a probable motive.
Drugs, money, or both.
St. Lucie County Sheriff Ken Mascara says police have arrested four persons of interest on drug charges. An affidavit says evidence found in the suspect's home connects them to victim Jose Escobedo, believed to have been involved in cocaine trafficking. He says one of the four may have fired the shots that killed Escobedo, his wife, and two young sons. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
California, Dennis is missing. The Monterey Police Department is seeking help in locating the statue of the menace. The bronze statue was stolen from the Dennis the Menace playground sometime over the last 24 hours. Playground was opened in 56 with equipment designed by the late cartoonist Hank Ketchum and sculptor Arch Garner. I'm Lou Meliano.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Jackie Guerra, welcome to the Rachel Maddow Show here on Air America Radio. I'm filling in for Rachel today, but she'll be back on Monday, so I'm just going to try to hold the fort down till then. It's Friday, October 27th, 2006, 6 minutes past the hour, and we've got a lot to do today. As always, we'll be ticking down the top stories of the day, and I've got a few really awesome guests. In the next segment, I'll talk with Jen Kern from the Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now, or ACORN, about a really great project they're working on in a video blog called 7 Days at Minimum Wage. And then later in the show, I'll have Grammy Award-winning musician and activist Steve Earle here to talk politics and perform live in the studio, en vivo. A little music for you on a Friday afternoon as you start to get ready for the weekend. Pretty cool. Now, for those of you who don't know me, I host Workin' It right here on Air America. My show airs Saturdays on most affiliates. You can check out your local listings. And some of you may know me as Jennifer Lopez's drum-playing sister in the movie Selena or from the PBS series American Family. But what you may not know is that my first job out of college was as an organizer for the Hotel and Restaurant Employees Union, Local 11, HERE, in Los Angeles. So I'm most proud to host Workin' It. I like to say that Workin' It is the show about your life at work. You know, we focus on workplace issues and workers' rights and basically the things that really impact daily lives of working people in America. But today we're going to open it up a bit and cover a lot more than that. And I'm really excited to be filling in for Rachel, mainly because, just like you, I'm a big fan of hers. But also because it means that I'm on the air in my hometown of Los Angeles. I am 100% Mexican-American Valley girl. I'm coming to you live from the 818 in Los Angeles. I want to say a special hello to the people tuning in on KTLK, LA's Progressive Talk, AM 1150. What's up, LA? I got nothing but love for you. All right, enough intro. Let's just get right into the news. Vámonos. You know, we're just 12 days away from the midterm elections today, and conservatives are latching on to a favorite issue to reignite their sad, depressed base. Wednesday's New Jersey court decision that gay couples are entitled to the same rights as heterosexual couples turns out to be just the kind of news conservatives were hoping for ahead of the midterm elections. New Jersey's Supreme Court, of course, stopped short of forcing the state to allow same-sex marriage. It just said that under the state's constitution, same-sex couples can no longer be denied the benefits that opposite-sex couples have. In other words, they said that if you give one group certain rights, guess what? You have to give every group those rights. Sounds pretty bedrock American to me. But yesterday, President Bush in Iowa basically stopped his speech dead in its tracks to offer his opinion on the ruling.
We had another activist court issue a ruling that raises doubts about the institution of marriage. I believe that marriage is a union between a man and a woman.
Well, I believe you sound pretty angry. But you know what? Conservative religious leaders couldn't be happier. They are like yippee-skippy. You know why? Because these geniuses are hoping that this ruling will bring out the anti-gay vote on November 7th, especially and particularly in 8 key states that have amendments against same-sex marriage on the ballot. Come on, how pathetic is this? I mean, do Republicans have any campaign strategies that don't involve hating someone? First, it was the super racist anti-Harold Ford ads in Tennessee. Yesterday, they passed a bill to build a fence along the border. Give it a rest. Foolios. Today they're jumping back on the anti-gay bandwagon. Enough already. But it's like their slogan is, hate blacks, vote Republican. Hate immigrants, vote Republican. Hate gays, wear your choice, vote Republican. I mean, can't they win a single election without appealing to the bigot vote? Their whole thing is no. No to gay marriage, no to choice, no to black senators, no to immigration reform that makes any sense, no to science, no to this, no to that. Yes to getting out to vote for Democrats on November 7th. Back on the campaign trail, Republicans are getting desperate. And when they get desperate, what do? They go on attack. According to GOP operatives themselves, this isn't even interpretation. This is the GOP saying that they, the National Republican Campaign Committee, is spending 90% of its money on negative ads. And some of these ads are really reaching for the straws. I mean, here's a ridiculous case in point. You know, in New York, they ran an ad accusing Democratic House candidate Michael Arcuri of using taxpayer dollars for phone sex.
Hi, sexy. You reached the live one-on-one fantasy line.
All right. Clearly, that sounds like phone sex. But that's actually just the start of a political ad. We're not kidding. There's no editing here, no additions. Now, here's where the big voiced guy comes in. Listen to this.
The phone number to an adult fantasy hotline appeared on Michael Arcuri's New York City hotel room bill while he was there on official business. And the call was charged to Oneida County taxpayers.
All right, here's the deal. It turns out that one of Arcuri's aides tried to call the State Division of Criminal Justice, which unfortunately has a number almost identical to that of a porn line. Maybe they ought to change the number. Anyway, the total cost to taxpayers for that one misdial, which was under a minute long, and I'm guessing that most people spend more time than that when they're calling a sex line, or so I'm told. The total cost to taxpayers for the one misdial, $1.25. But Republicans aren't going to let the facts get in the way of a good story. No. 90% of their kizash is going to go to negative advertising because they have no shame. Well, we're just warming up here. Coming up next, I'll talk to Jen Kern from Acorn about their campaign called 7 Days at Minimum Wage. And I'll tell you about a break that the IRS is giving to Katrina victims. At least until after the elections are over. I'm Jackie Guerra, not Rachel Maddow, but this is the Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio.
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
And now, the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
The Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio.
It's Enid Live, weekday afternoon.
stop whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it, extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is, riding on the bus with poor people. New rule, call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Well, you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Halls Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and Elm in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it,
Miss Romney,
what drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
If Romney gets the nomination, the tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio. We'll turn this car right around.
This is the Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio. I'm Jackie Guerra, not Rachel Maddow, but I'm in for Rachel today, and she'll be back on Monday. Coming up, I'll give you a little taste of my Air America show, Working It, when I bring you the news in English. But right now, you know, initiatives to raise the minimum wage are on the ballot in 6 states on November 7th. And if minimum wage is just a slogan to you, then maybe you should check out what the AFL-CIO and the Association for Community Organizations and Reform Now, or ACORN, are up to this week. 7 Days at Minimum Wage is a video blog with daily posts in which a minimum wage earner gets to tell you what it's like to bring up a family on a mere $5.15 an hour. Joining us now by phone is the director of ACORN's Living Wage Resource Center, Jen Kern. Jen, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. Now, what is the purpose of 7 Days at Minimum Wage?
Well, we really wanted to draw attention to the great grassroots organizing that's going on around the country to raise the minimum wage and to make it clear that this is a national movement to fight to raise wages when Congress has done nothing for 10 years. And this is
Second, Jen. They haven't done nothing. They've given themselves raises.
That's right. They've been busy. I should correct myself. They've given themselves almost $35,000 of salary increases in the same time that they failed to raise the minimum wage.
As my Jewish friends say, that's a shanda. They should be ashamed of themselves. Jen, take us through a day in the life of a typical minimum wage earner, like the ones featured on 7 Days at Minimum Wage. What kinds of decisions are these folks having to make that those of us who aren't supporting ourselves on minimum wage may take for granted?
Well, the videos every day have been very different, but I think one of the universal themes is, like you said, choices. People are stuck between eating right themselves, feeding their kids, trying to get an education, or staying at their job. For instance, there's two women who really, really are trying to get an education, but they can't put in the hours. They don't have the money because they're working so many hours on a minimum wage job. And one of them tells a heartening story of trying to show her kids the value of work while she can't buy them shoes, she can't take them to a fancy restaurant, the car is breaking down, she's trying to improve her education, but she's not getting anywhere. So people are really making choices. She even talks about not eating some nights because her kids, four kids, need to eat, and she tells them she's just not hungry, when in fact, that's not the case.
Oh, it's so heartbreaking. But I got to ask you, like, as you were going through these stories and creating this wonderful video blog for all of us to check out, what was the most surprising part of this experience for you?
I think what I continue to be surprised by is how many stories are out there and how many people are shocked when they find out how little the minimum wage is and how many Americans are living on just above minimum wage. So I think that I continue to be surprised by the variety of stories. The first day was a couple, and one of them had been injured on the job, and the other one was trying to support the family and really struggling. One of it was a father who had a newborn son. Two of them were day laborers that had no idea how much they were going to make every day and would put in backbreaking hours and come home with $35 at the end of the day. So there's just, you know, they were different ages, you know, they were in couples, they were single, they had kids, they were...
Yeah, I think that this is a really important point, too, because I think when most folks think about the minimum wage, they think teenagers working fast food jobs for pocket money, when this is really families. And the stories on your website, on 7daysatminimumwage.org, that, you know, those are families, and they're women and they're children, and it's just
70% of minimum wage workers are over the age of 20, and that's something that a lot of people don't know. And about 3/4 of them are the sole earners for their family.
We're talking to director of ACORN's Living Wage Resource Center, Jen Kern. You know, Jen, there are a number of people out there who say, frankly, you know what? If you're poor in America, I got news for you, buddy. It's because you're just not working hard enough. What do you say to those people?
Well, when I calm down, you mean? this is a family program. I should be careful of the language I use.
Let it rip. It's Friday.
I mean,
we can take it.
If people watch the blog, these are not people who aren't working. It's a common, sadly, a common misconception that in America, if you work hard, you'll make it. And I think people are increasingly realizing that people work hard every day, get up, play by the rules, and they still are making decisions between heating and eating. And, you know, you can see by the vlogs that these people are working themselves, in some cases, to the point where they're crying on the video talking about the hours they put in for the pay that they receive. And so I think it's also important to remember that people are working harder these days for less because the value of the minimum wage has been allowed to become so eroded by inflation. It's now worth less than it has been in every of the last 51 years. So it's at a 51-year low. So people are actually working harder for less now.
You know, I think that a lot of people, they listen to this, and, you know, frankly, they don't think they're affected by the minimum wage. Should the minimum wage be raised? Of course it should be raised, they think, because, you know what, it's the right thing to do, but they don't think it affects them directly if they're not supporting themselves on the minimum wage. So how does it affect those folks?
Well, I think, I mean, there's a couple ways to look at that. One, I think your first point is an important one. This is a question of what kind of a country we want to be. And this is a moral question. Mm-hmm. If somebody gets up every day and works hard and plays by the rules, is there an agreement? Is there a social contract in America that says you will not be desperately poor? And I think that it does say something moral about what kind of country we want to be. And we do have a decision to make about, you know, now that those jobs are, you know, that we're nostalgic about are gone. We have to make these jobs that we're left with, the service and retail jobs, good family-supporting jobs, or we're going to increasingly become a country of haves and have-nots. But then, you know, sort of in terms of how it really affects people, first of all, that when the minimum wage is allowed to be eroded by inflation like it has been and its value is lost practically all its meaning, it brings down all wages. It serves as, you know, a sucking motion on wages. So it does affect people up the income scale. But also, when people are desperately poor, they can't buy houses to stabilize their neighborhood. They can't spend time with their kids. They can't go to church or participate in civic institutions. There are so many ways in which working poverty really does eat away at whole communities and whole neighborhoods, not just the individual family.
Absolutely. Now, here's the deal. We're getting these initiatives on the ballots. And as we know, yep, democracy is a government for the people, by the people. The people, according to every single poll and survey I've looked at, want the minimum wage to be increased. So why the hell can't we get this passed at the federal level?
Okay, this is my favorite question. Whenever people ask me this, I turn around and say, why do you think? And I generally get the answer right. There's absolutely no reason that the federal government has not raised the minimum wage, except that they are not representing the people they pretend to represent. Just like you said, every poll, no matter whether it's federal or state or even at the city level, vast majorities of Americans think the minimum wage should be raised. The fact that Congress has failed to do so is a perfect example of the power of money in politics, and they are simply not listening to their constituents because they don't think they have to. And that's what we're challenging them
on. Well, then maybe they should be relieved of their damn jobs.
Yeah, when the voters have
November
a chance, they pull the lever for hard work, deserves
that's
fair pay,
right.
And that's what's going to happen on November 7th. If we could do that at the federal level, we'd do it.
Well, let's do it. Listen, Jen, we only have about 30 seconds, and it's obvious that what the folks in Arizona, Colorado, Missouri, Montana, Nevada, and Ohio can do. But what can listeners who aren't in the states with ballot initiatives do to help ensure an increase in the minimum wage?
Well, one thing is to get involved in local living wage campaigns. Another thing is to try to get involved in your state legislative minimum wage campaigns. There's one going on in almost every state these days. And then third, write your congressperson and senator. They still haven't done the job, and they absolutely need to get on it immediately.
And I would add number four, November 7th, go into that election booth and pull a lever for somebody who's going to listen to you.
Somebody who represents working families. Pull the lever.
Amen. Amen. Jen Curran, thank you so much for joining us here on The Rachel Maddow Show. You're awesome. Good luck.
Thanks for having me.
That's Jen Curran, director of ACORN's Living Wage Resource Center. Check out their video blog, 7daysatminimumwage.org. And you know what? Let's get out there on Election Day and vote for an increase in the minimum wage, and let's support an increase in the minimum wage every day. Coming up, I'll run down some of today's top stories, and I'll tell you why President Bush's 700-mile-long border fence is already full of holes. I'm Jackie Guerra, in for Rachel Maddow. It's 27 past the hour, and this is The Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio.
The Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio.
It's the Morning Retort with...
728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Play perfectly. I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly.
Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA Four Diamond Casino Resort. Just join the Cash Club and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit cashcreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
Cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... New rule, no more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
The color pink represents the promise to find a cure for breast cancer. That promise started the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation and ignited the passion of millions to create a world without breast cancer. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We are reaching out to you to make a difference this month by making a personal donation to the Komen Foundation and by showing your passion for the cure by wearing pink one or more days in October. Anything you can do to heighten the awareness of this cause can make a difference. To share your promise and to donate funds to our passion, log on to 1320LoveChannel.com.
And really just want to kick back and relax in front of the TV. Anyway, in the middle of this,
Since the horror of 9/11, we've learned a great deal about the enemy. We have learned that they are evil and kill without mercy.
The president did offer the public a subtle reminder.
The safety of America depends on the outcome of the battle in the streets of Baghdad. It is a struggle for civilization.
You know what, Mr. President? Meet me at camera three. A little music, please. Howdy. Look, here's what I wanted to say. If you're going to tell us that the fate of civilization depends on what happens in the streets of Baghdad, maybe we should have sent more people to Baghdad with guns. You can't tell Americans we're in a fight for our very way of life and then say there's nothing we can do to help except trust you. That scares people, fills them with terror.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Maddow Show on Air America Radio. It's not just for breakfast anymore.
Welcome back to the Rachel Maddow Show. I'm Jackie Guerra, in for Rachel. She'll be back on Monday. Coming up, I'm going to run through all the top stories. Republicans are going for the bigotry trifecta, people, as we approach Election Day. But right now, I want to tell you about a very interesting new study that touches on a topic very near and dear to my heart. This is a new study that says that Americans are burning nearly 1 billion more gallons of gasoline each year than they did in 1960 because of our expanding waistlines. Basically, more weight in the car means lower gas mileage. I guess this gives new meaning to the idea of having too much junk in your trunk. This is something that I take very, very personally and have a whole lot to say about because I spent most of my adult life weighing about 300 pounds. I've recently lost 170 pounds, after having gastric bypass surgery. You know, this whole issue about obesity is a very, very serious problem that we need to get under control. The thing that I take offense to in this article is that, once again, we're blaming fat people. For now, fat people are costing more money for gas and doing damage to the environment. And come on, obesity is a disease, people. Research from the Center for Disease Control have come out with some pretty alarming statistics. Obesity has now surpassed smoking as the number one cause of preventable death in America. Obesity kills more people than AIDS, cancer, and all accidents combined. Now, these are American citizens dying from preventable deaths. And it's especially serious for children and people of color. You know, in 1982, 4% of American children were overweight. I was one of those kids. My husband is a fifth grade school teacher. I can tell you, when I was in fifth grade, I was the one fat kid in my class. And today, in my husband's class, you can pick out the one kid who's not fat. 39% of African American and Latino children are overweight, and 24% are obese. And this isn't because of ethnicity. This is because of socioeconomic status. This is a class issue. This is an access to health care issue. This is an access to healthy, good, organic, and fresh foods issue. And I have to tell you, you know, after having gastric bypass surgery, which I resisted for a long time, man, I lost and gained the same 100 pounds 4 times since college. I write about this extensively in my book, Under Construction. Like a lot of people, I tried every diet out there. Hope in a jar, hope in a packet, hope in a prepackaged meal. I went on every diet, including the color diet, which is the diet where you eat a different color food every single day. Like on Monday, you eat red food. On Tuesday, you eat yellow food. On Wednesday, you eat green food. Lucky for me, they make M&Ms and all those colors. And I never even considered having any kind of weight loss surgery because I bought into the stigma that's attached to it. I thought, like a lot of people think, that it was the easy way out. So I tried traditional dieting, and I tried very hard. But, you know, you wake up one day and you realize that, in fact, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. And so after a lot of research, and I mean a lot of research, I opted to have the surgery. And I got to tell you, it's changed my life. I've become a big advocate for the prevention and cure of obesity. I often say that unions are to poverty as weight loss surgery is to obesity. Not perfect, but the best known cure for both. And one of the big reasons is that surgery really is the cure, a cure for obesity. Not the only, but a cure. It's not for everyone, but it's definitely for people with real problems. Listen to these stats. For the people who are morbidly obese, the chance that you'll get down to just being overweight instead of morbidly obese by dieting, just dieting, is about 1%. 1%. Uno. The chances of them getting down to normal weight by dieting is a fraction of a percent, and the chance that they'll keep that weight off for a lifetime if they do lose it through dieting is even smaller than that. But when an obese person undergoes weight loss surgery combined with proper nutrition, exercise, etc., there is an 85% success rate. 85% success rate compared to a 98% failure rate for traditional diet and exercise. So clearly, for most people who are seriously obese, surgery offers the only realistic chance at a healthy life. You know, this isn't just a smart choice for them in terms of health, which is obviously the most important. It also makes economic sense because there's huge costs associated with health care for obese people. Heart disease, diabetes, the list goes on. And the amount of money that health care companies spend to care for these patients, especially later in their lives, dwarfs the cost of surgery. In other words, it's just good investment for healthcare companies to cover weight loss surgeries. Now, they're a little slow to see that wisdom, but I'm working hard to make them see it, and I'm optimistic that they'll see it soon. There's some great folks out there like obesityhelp.com. You can visit them. For those who are obese and may have probably lost hope, I want to be part of the education revolution that gets them healthy, happy, and active. For those who are not yet obese but perhaps on a path, I want to be part of the change that prevents obesity. And the way that we treat the overweight in this country is is beyond shameful. If you're overweight and you beat yourself up about it, there's hope. Knock it off. Stop it. And if you're not overweight and you roll your eyes when someone who's overweight sits next to you at on an airplane, or you make comments behind their back, you might not be fat, but you're ugly. And I guarantee you, there's no union and there's no surgery to get rid of being ugly. Coming up, musician and activist Steve Earle will join me right here in the His House to talk politics and perform live, and we'll catch you up on all the top stories. I'm Jackie Guerra, in for Rachel Maddow. It's 56 past the hour, and this is The Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio.
The Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio. This is the Nation Minute on Air America Radio.
The state of South Dakota is the epicenter of efforts to turn back the clock on reproductive rights this election season. Earlier this year, the state's legislature passed an abortion ban so restrictive that it provided no exceptions whatsoever. Not for rape, not for incest, not in cases of severe fatal abnormality, not to protect the mother's health. Following the legislation's passage, however, a coalition of feminists, reproductive rights, and civil liberties groups formed the South Dakota Campaign for Healthy Families to ask that voters repeal the ban through a referendum. In 10 weeks, more than 1,200 volunteers gathered over 38,000 signatures, double the number needed. With 10 days to go, the latest Zogby poll shows a statistical dead heat. Vote Yes for Life, the organization fighting to save the ban, has thousands of volunteers planting lawn signs, staffing phone banks, and holding house parties. The opposition is working overtime to counter these efforts. In the next few days, the coalition is putting out a series of new TV ads statewide. Watch the ads online and contribute to help keep them on the air until the elections. In this contest, every little bit really does count. I'm Peter Rothberg from The Nation magazine for Air America. See the Act Now blog at thenation.com for more info, and listen to Radio Nation with Laura Flanders weekends on Air America.
That unfamiliar sound is...
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes.
At the truth, AM 1320.
It's a series of truths.
The Hills, the 23rd Annual Auction Gala, food, wine, music. It benefits the El Dorado Women's Center, Saturday, October 28th at 6 p.m. For details, call 530-644-8760. Hundreds of items are for bid, silent and a live auction. You get a chance to bid on vacation getaways, personal chef dinners, fabulous food and wine, Saturday, October 28th. For details, 530-644-8760. Hollywood in the Hills, benefiting the El Dorado Women's Center. It is Hollywood in the
somewhat disturbing day. Now, President Bush was overseas in Germany as events unfolded. Here is his press conference with Chancellor Angela Merkel, where he wasted no time addressing the many troubling developments.
I'm looking forward to the feast you're going to have tonight. I understand I may have the honor of slicing the pig.
I'm just going to assume that that is some sort of euphemism for solving the Middle East crisis. Since pig, obviously forbidden for both sides. Now, I'm sure the president will elaborate on these very serious topics.
And I guess that's about all. We've discussed a lot of things, in other words. And thank you for having me. Looking forward to that pig tonight.
Sure, when he starts taking questions from reporters, he'll drop the pig thing.
Do you see a risk of triggering a wider war?
I thought you were asking about the pig.
There you have it. Calming silence of President George W. Bush. He'll be playing at the White House in Washington, D.C. for the next 2.5 years.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. The Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio. Located at the corner of hard truth and hilarious absurdity.
Hey, this is the Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio. It's 34 minutes past the hour. I'm Jackie Guerra in for Rachel. She'll be back on Monday. Coming up, I'm going to give you a little taste of my Air America show, Working It, which I hope you'll listen to on Saturdays. Every week, we bring you the news in English. And I'm also going to tell you how shrinking America's waistline just might be the way to fatten our wallets. But right now, here are a couple of the top stories that we're watching today. The blog Drudge Report says that both NBC and the CW television network are refusing to air ads for a new documentary on the Dixie Chicks and the fallout that they experienced from radio stations and fans after making critical remarks about the president. You know, the CW television network reportedly cooked up this excuse. The network, quote, does not have appropriate programming in which to schedule the spot, end quote. But NBC didn't even bother lying. According to Drudge, NBC just flat out says the network cannot accept the spots because they're disparaging to President Bush, which I guess explains their nightly news. Anyway, I just find this to be completely ironic because here's the deal. The Dixie Chicks get blackballed, right? They get blackballed and censored for exercising their First Amendment rights. And then when a documentary gets made to put a spotlight on what happened, the documentary gets censored. Well, God bless America. Let's keep spreading democracy all over the world. Because that is freedom of speech under George W. Bush for you. Anyway, the Dixie Chicks' new documentary, which I think looks amazing, is called Shut Up and Sing. It's a backstage look at the controversy that occurred in 2003 after the Dixie Chicks' lead singer and one of my personal heroes, Natalie Maines, said that she was ashamed the president of the United States is from her home state of Texas. And I believe it is her right under the First Amendment to say that. Shut Up and Sing opens in theaters in New York and Los Angeles tonight and in theaters nationwide on November 10th. Go check it out. That's where I'll be tonight. The Internal Revenue Service has decided to wait until after the elections to collect taxes from Hurricane Katrina victims. The New York Times reports today that the commissioner of the IRS ordered his agency to delay collection efforts until after the midterms to avoid negative publicity. Hey, question. Would it surprise you to know that the IRS commissioner, Mark Everson, has close ties to the White House? Perhaps a friend of W? You know, if the IRS really wanted to give these folks a break, they could. They could do it. Instead of just delaying the pain until after the elections, they could collect taxes from the Hurricane Katrina victims the same way they collect taxes from large corporations, which is to not collect them at all. Of course, when you're living in a FEMA trailer, it's a little hard to file your taxes from the Cayman Islands. And, of course, people are still talking about President Bush's signing of a bill yesterday creating a 700-mile fence, big fat waste of time, along the border of the U.S., which was one of the more pathetically transparent political maneuvers of this election season. I mean, give it a rest. Republicans put this bill through a week and a half before an election. Quel surprise. You know what? They might as well go on TV and say, attention, bigots! We're on your side! Oh, wait. They did that with the Harold Ford ads. Anyway, what makes this fence bill whole thing especially transparent and obnoxious is that, honestly, they have no intention of ever building the fence. As the Washington Post reported back on October 6th, as soon as the White House approved the fence, they approved another bill that, quote, ensures it will never be built, at least not as advertised, according to Republican lawmakers and immigration experts, end quote. By the way, I love the immigration experts part because I'm sure it's that big Mexican Lou Dobbs weighing in and a lot of other recent immigrants and people who've actually talked to an immigrant. Anyway, basically the House did this whole thing by telling the Bush administration that they could spend a lot of money on a whole host of border projects, but the fence had to be way down towards the bottom of the list. So let's not be fooled by this ridiculous photo op. Once again, it's just a pathetic, empty attempt by the Republicans to appeal to the tiny-minded minority that just doesn't like brown people. Because, let's be honest, hermanas y hermanos, when they say immigration, that's just code for Mexican. And, you know, I have a new frame for this issue that I want to run by you, because this is something very personal to me. People say, don't take politics personal. This is very personal. I'm the daughter of Mexican immigrants. My parents raised me to believe very strongly in the American dream. Guess what? My parents named my brother and I after the Kennedys. That's right. The people in my family are named Ramon, Rogelio, Pepe, Gogo, Pilar, Jackie, and John. We're the only Mexicans I know named Jackie and John. My parents raised us to believe very strongly in the American dream and in the idea that if you work hard in America, you can have a great life. And they're right. I know it sounds a little cheesy to some of you, but the truth is, for the many immigrants who come to our country each year and the millions who've been coming for generations, i.e. your grandparents, Pat Buchanan, this is the Holy Grail. The prospect of a better life is the Holy Grail. It's that dream that inspired my own father to leave his home, his family, his culture, his country, his language at 17 to come to America by himself. So when we talk about immigration, let's be very clear. Those people who would put up a fence along the U.S. border are actively attempting to shut down the American dream. And how convenient for those people when they put up the fence after they made it across. Conversely, when you stand up for immigrants' rights, when you work to improve wages and working conditions for struggling immigrants, when you offer them a path to citizenship as opposed to indentured servitude, you're fighting for the American dream. You're defending the American dream, and that's the side I want to be on. It's like when you get into an elevator, people. You press that button, you're on your way to where you're going to go, and the door's about to close, and you see someone running, struggling to make it before the door closes so that they can get in that elevator for you. Right there at that second, you have the choice to decide what kind of person you are. Are you the kind of person that's going to hold the door open so that that other person can join you in that elevator? Or are you the kind of person that's going to hit the closed door button and slam that door in their face? I think we're better than that. I have a lot of faith in the American people. I know that we are capable of being great, and we're the kind of people who would hold that door open. Well, right now I want to bring in my producer, Dan Pashman. Hey, Dan Pashman, how's it going?
Hey, Jackie, how are you?
I'm great. Happy to be here on the Rachel Maddow Show. Now, for those of you who don't know, I host a show on Air America called Workin' It, which is a show about your life at work, and each Saturday as part of our show, we take a look back at the week's news with an eye towards the news that matters to working people, so we thought we'd do a little bit of that here for you. So now it's time for the news in English. A federal judge has thrown out the fraud and conspiracy conviction of Ken Lay, the former Enron executive who died of heart failure in July, because Lay can't appeal his guilty verdict. This will make it harder for former Enron employees to lay claim to Lay's estate. Wow. Until I saw this story, I never thought there could be a downside to Ken Lay being dead. Seriously, come on, he got off through a loophole in the law, but when you think about it, it's a loophole you can only use if you're in an urn.
I think I'll skip out on that loophole.
You're going to take a big pass?
Yeah. I'll just pay back the $44 million.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Retirement is becoming increasingly expensive, and many working Americans are simply not prepared for it, according to a report in the Chicago Tribune. With a retirement savings crisis looming, workers should prepare to stay on the job into their late 60s. You know, a lot of these older workers end up in low-paying jobs, which might explain why the other day the salad bar attendant wouldn't let me take a dessert until I finished my vegetables, young lady! Anyway, I guess I now know why my gynecologist's office just hired Mr. Magoo.
Roadhog!
Nothing like somebody with a Coke bottle glasses looking at you.
Yeah.
In the old business.
Is that what the cool kids are calling it these days? Is that a little Jackie Jarvis and street slang on us? I think you might be one of these retirees they're talking about in the article. Stop staring at my business, young man.
Dan, could you please be professional? I have a newscast to do here.
Oh, very sorry.
All right. Compose. U.S. companies are increasingly... U.S. companies are increasing restrictions on employees, in some cases going as far as to dictate whether coworkers can socialize with each other after hours. Most Americans are surprised to learn that in many states it's legal for you to be hired, fired, or promoted based on what a company finds out about you when you're not at work. Man, this is bad news for anyone who picked the Macarena to play when their MySpace page opens.
Crap, I gotta get on the internet and make some changes.
And that's the news in English. All right, funny boy Dan Pashman. I think I can take care of business from here.
All right, later.
Coming up, I'll tell you how shrinking America's waistline could fatten our wallets in more ways than one. I'm Jackie Guerra, and this is The Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio.
The Rachel Maddow Show.
Listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Listening to AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
The California wildfire rages on.
With four firefighters killed, this is a double crime, arson and murder.
The Bush administration tries to put out a fire.
Did the vice president endorse waterboarding for terror suspects? I'm Mark Knoller at the White House.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Flames fed by the dry Santa Ana wind have spread through the canyons about 90 miles east of Los Angeles. At least 10 structures, including homes, have been destroyed, 700 people forced to evacuate. And even as the battle rages, authorities are trying to find the arsonist blamed for the deaths of four firefighters. CBS News correspondent Bill Whitaker went to the source in Beaumont, California.
Sources close to the investigation tell us that this fire was started right here. Probably something as simple as a lighter to ignite dry grasses along the side of the road. And they tell us that when the arsonist picked this spot, he knew exactly what he was doing.
Because it's like a wind tunnel here. Investigators say whoever set the fire knew the constant winds that power Palm Springs generators just down the road would fuel a wildfire. There have been more than 25 arson fires here in just the last few weeks.
A fifth firefighter is said to be in grave condition with burns over 90% of his body. Now this.
It's here at Ford and Lincoln Mercury Dealerships, the Right Now Factory Authorized Service Event, with special offers on tires, brakes, batteries, and more. Right now, buy four select Goodyear tires and get an iTunes gift card valued from $50 to $100 or an iPod Nano. Genuine parts and service at Ford and Lincoln Mercury dealerships. Hurry, it all ends soon. Call 1-877-310-3673 or see participating dealer for details through 11:30-06.
Walgreens has big news. They've teamed up with AARP with great new programs and offers for everyone 50 and over. To celebrate, AARP members who buy $10 worth of Walgreens brand items get a $10 gift card free. Not a member, but you love all that AARP has to offer? Walgreens has something for you, too. A free one-year membership, including their magazine, great benefits, and programs. Offers end soon, but the benefits are just beginning. See Walgreens for details. Restrictions may apply.
The Bush administration claims Dick Cheney didn't say what many people thought he said. CBS News correspondent Mark Knoller has that.
Dominating the media juggernaut at the White House was whether Vice President Cheney had endorsed the use of waterboarding, simulated drowning, during CIA interrogations of terror suspects. Interviewed this week by WDAY Fargo, North Dakota, Cheney was asked if a dunk in the water for terror suspects is a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer for me, but for a while there I was criticized as being the vice president for torture. Well, we don't torture.
But spokesman Tony Snow had to spend much of his briefings telling reporters, we got it wrong.
I know it's inviting to say, the vice president confirms waterboarding, he's talking about waterboarding. It's not there.
But the White House still won't say if it regards waterboarding as torture, and if not, is it used on terror suspects? Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
Questions about a possible rift between Washington and Baghdad prompted a rare joint statement today from U.S. Ambassador Khalilzad and Iraqi Prime Minister Maliki. They say Iraq accepts timelines for meeting goals and is committed to a good and strong relationship with the United States. CBS News correspondent Cammy McCormick reports the American death toll this month is up to 97.
The U.S. military announced the death of a soldier in Diyala province due to enemy action. In Baghdad, in the past several hours, operations have been underway in Sadr City to locate a soldier abducted on Monday, a linguist of Iraqi descent who was taken by gunmen during a visit to his relatives. There have also been gun battles in central Baghdad, although it's not clear if that's related.
New York City police and the Secret Service are checking a report of a suspicious substance found at former President Bill Clinton's Harlem office. Mr. Clinton isn't there. It was 2 weeks ago today that a couple and their two young sons were found shot to death along Florida's Turnpike. Now, CBS News correspondent Peter King reports investigators believe they understand the crime.
It's no longer considered a random act.
This was a deliberate act of premeditated murder.
And there is a probable motive.
Drugs. Money or both.
St. Lucie County Sheriff Ken Mascara says police have arrested four persons of interest on drug charges. An affidavit says evidence found in the suspect's home connects them to victim Jose Escobedo, believed to have been involved in cocaine trafficking. He says one of the four may have fired the shots that killed Escobedo, his wife, and two young sons. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
In Tucson today, a former customs agent admitted he took a $50,000 bribe to let a motorhome carrying cocaine pass through his checkpoint. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Worrying. New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone.
Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag, is a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Live from our studios in New York City, this is the Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio.
Hey, it's 6 past the hour, and this is the Rachel Maddow Show. I'm Jackie Guerra, filling in for Rachel. She'll be back on Monday. Coming up this hour, I'll talk to Mary Beth Maxwell from American Rights at Work about the role that unions can really play in mobilizing progressive voters. And Grammy Award-winning musician Steve Earle will be here in studio to talk politics and perform live en vivo for your Friday. So we've got live music for you. Very exciting. And if you're wondering who I am, you know, I host a show called Working It here on Air America. Some of you may know me as the drum-playing sister in the movie Selena, but what I'm most proud of is the fact that my first job out of college was as a union organizer, and my show, Working It, airs Saturdays on more affiliates. I like to say that Working It is the show about your life at work, where we focus on workplace issues, workers' rights, and basically the things that really impact the lives of working people in America. So check us out Saturdays. But today, we're covering more ground than that. I want to thank Rachel for inviting me to fill in for her. And I want to say a special hello to people tuning in on KTLK, LA's Progressive Talk, AM 1150. LA's my hometown. I'm an 818 Mexican-American Valley chica. And it's where I'm at right now, right here, coming to you from Los Angeles. My show doesn't air in LA yet, so this is my chance to say hola to LA. So now let's get on with the news. You know, we're just 12 days from the midterm elections today, and conservatives are latching on to a favorite issue of theirs to reignite their sad, depressed base. Wednesday's New Jersey court decision that gay couples are entitled to the same rights as heterosexual couples turns out to be just the kind of news conservatives were hoping for ahead of the midterm elections. New Jersey's Supreme Court, of course, stopped short of forcing the state to allow same-sex marriage. It just said that under the state's constitution, same-sex couples can no longer be denied the benefits that opposite-sex couples have. In other words, they said that if you give one group certain rights, you have to give every group those rights. Sounds pretty bedrock American to me. But conservatives don't like equal rights when it doesn't benefit them. So they're hoping that this ruling will bring out the anti-gay vote on November 7th, particularly in 8 key states that have amendments against same-sex marriage on the ballot. Disgusting. These guys seriously have no shame. First, it was the racist anti-Harold Ford ads in Tennessee. Yesterday, they passed a bill to build a ridiculous fence that's never going to get built along the border. Today, they're jumping back on the anti-gay bandwagon. It's like, hate blacks? Vote Republican. Hate immigrants? Vote Republican. Hate gays? Vote Republicans. It's not a good day for my cousin Julio. Can't they win a single election without appealing to the bigot vote? Come on! According to GOP operatives themselves, they're spending 90% of their money on negative campaigning right now. And those racist anti-Harold Ford ads I mentioned are a big part of that. And there's news today about one of the main guys behind those racist ads, Terry Nelson. He's also a consultant to John McCain, and he was recently hired by Walmart, gross, to help convince Walmart employees to get out and vote. I wonder what their voter drive looks like. Vote Republican, or we'll put you in the poorhouse, take away your health care, and lock you in the store all night long. The workers will be like, what is it, Thursday already? The Huffington Post reports that Terry Nelson will be fired by Walmart for his involvement in those racist ads, but no official word yet. Well, fingers crossed. Well, the hubbub continues over Madonna's adoption of a Malawian child. The boy's father today defended Madonna and says that the media has put words in his mouth. A judge in Malawi today adjourned to November 13th, a hearing into an attempt by rights groups to block Madonna's adoption of the boy. First of all, I feel bad for the father because he's an African villager with nothing, and I think he really is trying to do what's best for his son, and suddenly he's besieged by the worldwide media and all these quote-unquote human rights groups that seem to have their own agendas. Come on, that's a lot for anyone to handle, let alone someone who's had a hard time beating himself every day. But I want to talk about Madonna's adoption of the child. You know, I'm not going to question her intentions. I actually believe her when she says she's doing this because she wants to help a child. And frankly, a child help is a child help wherever they are. Let's face it. Basically, she's saving this child's life, and you certainly have to admire and respect that. But I think it's disgusting when people who are actually doing something positive and proactive are criticized for the sake of ratings or selling magazines. Give it a rest. I would just like to see a little bit of conversation about what's going on in America and Americans. And let's help, you know, we're all so busy helping the poor all over the world and adopting children in need and making sure that folks in Africa have access to aid medication. This may sound slightly PC, but come on. What about the 40 million Americans who live below the poverty line? What about the threat of democracy in America's workplaces? What about the America who need parents and are being raised in institutions waiting to be adopted? What about the 37 million Americans who don't have health care? How come there's no T-shirt for them at the Gap? I just think that charity begins at home. And in my book, Under Construction, I wrote a whole chapter called Think Globally, Act Locally about this issue. We have serious problems that require serious solutions and serious attentions right here in the United States. I just wish there was as much attention to our problems here and support for American workers and American citizens that there seems to be every place else. Coming up, I'll talk to Mary Beth Maxwell from American Rights at Work about the role that unions can play in mobilizing progressive voters. And Grammy Award-winning musician Steve Earle will be here in the studio to talk politics and perform live. I'm Jackie Guerra, in for Rachel Maddow, and this is The Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio.
What is it?
This is The Rachel Maddow Show.
Run away! Run away!
On Air America Radio.
It's The Randy Rhodes Show.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Kaida Sell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes region, for folks in the Detroit and Saginaw. You might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Jewish people have to start. The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to. Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320. This is the Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio. Question authoritatively.
Welcome back to the Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio. I'm Jackie Guerra, filling in for Rachel today. She'll be back on Monday. And next segment, musician and activist Steve Earle will be in the his house, right here, live, en vivo, in the studio to talk politics and play live. That's going to be super cool. But right now, it's time for the campaign countdown. And they're off. On my Air America show, Working It, we talk a lot about the role of unions, not only in lifting people out of poverty and protecting people's rights in the workplace, but also in organizing and mobilizing the working folks of this country. And around this time of the year, that organizing means educating voters and getting them to the polls, the most important part of voting. You know, it's no secret that union membership in the United States has been on the decline for years, quite frankly, under assault, under attack for the last 25 years. But the fact is, most progressives don't see this as a serious issue. And you know, if you track the decline in union density, it almost completely parallels the decline in progressive politics at every single level. Honestly, you cannot rebuild a progressive political movement in this country without workers being educated, mobilized, and organized into a strong labor movement. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. You know, even though only 8% of the private workforce is union, union households make up 24% of all voters. That's nearly one-fourth of every person who goes to vote comes from a union household. Union voters turn out big time. And in the 2004 election, they voted their economic pocketbook issues as their number one issue. While Kerry lost the non-union vote, 55% to 44, guess what? He won the union vote, 65 to 33, 2-1. And among white voters, there was an even bigger difference, you guys. Kerry lost to Bush by 17% overall. But among white union members, Kerry beat Bush by 24%. Now, what this says to me is that if you're serious about building a more just society and building the political power to do it, then you need to care about the decline in union density in this country. And you know, a big reason for that decline is the right to organize unions in the workplace, which has, as I said, been under attack by conservatives for years. Fortunately for all of us, the labor movement is fighting back. Thanks largely to some new faces and new leadership. Joining us now to discuss the attack on the right to organize unions is one of those leaders, the executive director of American Rights at Work, a good friend of mine and one of my favorite new faces of labor, Mary Beth Maxwell. Hey, Mary Beth, how's it going?
Good. Good to be with you, Jackie.
Well, this is exciting. I want to get right to it. You know, I've heard you say many times, Mary Beth, organizing unions is supposed to be a protected right for all American workers. Says who?
Well, we'll start with the law in America that workers are supposed to have the right to organize. The National Labor Relations Act was passed in 1935. It was part of the historic New Deal, and said very clearly employees have the right to self-organization, to join, form, or assist labor organizations.
So what are some of the factors, Mary Beth, that are coming together to suppress this right? What's going on?
What most Americans don't know is that what's happening in the workplace these days, employer interference in workers' freedom to form unions is off the charts. We have outrageous illegal behavior happening in the U.S. workplace. We've crunched the government data on this, Jackie, and so we know these are conservative numbers, the tip of the iceberg. But every year, employers illegally fire or discriminate against over 23,000 workers just for standing up for themselves in the workplace.
23,000 American workers are being fired every year for speaking up and expressing their federally protected right to organize in the workplace?
That's right. And in fact, what that means is that that's really happening every day. When you do the math on that, Jackie, that means someone every 23 minutes in the United States of America is being illegally fired or discriminated against in the workplace. And it's an outrage. You know, in the 3 hours that you're on the radio show tonight, right, that's eight people illegally fired or discriminated against just for standing up for themselves in their workplace. That's outrageous, and I would claim that is absolutely un-American.
Absolutely un-American. But, Mary Beth, don't give me a heart attack. I'm on for 2 hours. Please, please. Let me ask you, what kind of penalties do companies that break the law usually face? If they're doing this, there has to be some kind of penalty, no?
Well, you would think, right, that there would be some kind of a penalty. But what a good question, Jackie, because this is the other outrage. You know, even in these outrageous cases, when an employer actually outright fires somebody in the course of an organizing campaign, if the National Labor Relations Board, in fact, finds them guilty of breaking the law, and frequently it takes them years to even get to a decision, the only penalty for that employer is to pay back wages to that worker minus whatever the worker earned in the meantime. And I don't know about you, but if I was fired today, I got to find a new job tomorrow, right?
Absolutely.
Because I got to pay the rent, I got to buy groceries for my kid. I do not get to sit around and wait for 2 years for the government to get me my back wages, right? And so employers look at this and say, well, hey, cost-benefit analysis, this is a pretty good deal. This is a pretty inexpensive way to crush an organizing campaign.
So what are we going to do about it, Mary Beth? How do we turn this around?
Number one, you know, absolutely vote in these upcoming elections. That's critical. But number two, can get involved with organizations like American Rights at Work and help workers that are involved in organizing campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be there to support them during these campaigns. And number three, we really need progressives to rally with the labor movement in the United States to change labor law. We need to change the rules of the game and make it possible again for workers to have a free and fair choice in forming a union. And that means passing, you know, legislation at the federal level, the Employee Free Choice Act, and changing the rules of the game.
We're talking to Mary Beth Maxwell, Executive Director of American Rights at Work. For more information on American Rights at Work, you can go to AmericanRightsAtWork.org. Now, Mary Beth, why is preserving the right to organize unions so important for the lives of regular working Americans? Talk to me as if I don't know from unions.
Well, the thing that's good, great question. The thing that's important for progressives to remember is that unions absolutely help their own members, right?
Mm-hmm.
Union members are able to negotiate for higher wages. Their union members are much more likely to have health care benefits. Union members are able to have better health and safety protections in their workplace. So if you care about any of those issues, you got to care about workers' freedom to form unions. Unions and their workers also are able to hold corporations accountable. If you care about democracy and holding corporations accountable in this country, right, you've got to restore the freedom of workers to form unions. But finally, as well, unions help all workers. If you care about passing a minimum wage increase, right, or passing living wage laws or health care benefits for all Americans, you need more workers organized into their own organizations and involved in the political process to build that political muscle to fight for those progressive issues that we all hold dear.
Now, Mary Beth, you brought up higher wages, which is an important part of collective bargaining, but there are some people listening who believe that unions just drive up wages to unreasonable levels, which then force jobs overseas. How do you respond to that? Give it to them, Mary Beth.
The truth is,
send them home on Friday with something to think about.
The truth is, it's not true that unions drive up wages too high or drive jobs overseas. Wages are low in this country, and we're losing some jobs overseas because we in this country are not holding corporations accountable. That's the problem in this country. Globalization absolutely is a fact of life, right? The question is, what kind of globalization are we going to have? And what kind of values are we going to put into place when we elect the people making those rules and passing the laws about that? You know, mm-hmm. You also look at industries here in this country, for example, like the hotel industry, right? Highly profitable industry. They're making gobloads of money. The workers in those hotels that have a union have decent wages and health care benefits. The workers in the hotels that do not have a union and who are struggling right now to form a union do not. It is not because those hotels cannot afford to pay those wages. It's because they're choosing not to.
Amen. Mary Beth Maxwell, Executive Director of American Rights at Work, an all-around incredible super chica. Muchas gracias. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jackie, for all you do.
That's Mary Beth Maxwell, Executive Director of American Rights at Work. For more information on them, go to AmericanRightsAtWork.org. Coming up, musician Steve Earle will be here in the studio to talk issues and play us a song. It's 27 past the hour. I'm Jackie Guerra, in for Rachel Maddow on Air America Radio.
Mad Cowboy
Good afternoon. Lisa West here at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Our weather, 44 for the low. We're reaching highs tomorrow right around 81, though we're at 78 here in the River City. Our traffic, southbound I-5 at J Street, nice and slow. Eastbound 50 just east of Folsom Boulevard, we have a disabled vehicle. Looks like that's turned into a car crash. Southbound 99 just south of Sutterville Road and Elsie, eastbound Elsie and westbound Florin Road, all southbound 99. We have 2 and 3 car crashes all along there. Enid Live will continue coming up on Monday, and you can log on and give her an email, 1320leftchannel.com. I'm Lisa West for traffic and weather from the left at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
Pamela Falk, a joy talking to you.
Well, you know I'm your biggest fan. You go from hilariously funny to unbelievably informed.
And then we cry. And then we cry.
Scott and Sim's mornings, 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
My name is...
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now... I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left Channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and Almond Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cache Fever Jackpots. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cache Fever jackpot hits, a Cache Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cache Fever jackpot total and your Cache Club points online now at CacheCreek.com. So join Cache Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Color pink represents the promise to find a cure for breast cancer. That promise started the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation and ignited the passion of millions to create a world without breast cancer. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We are reaching out to you to make a difference this month by making a personal donation to the Komen Foundation and by showing your passion for the cure by wearing pink 1 or more days in October. Anything you can do to heighten the awareness of this cause can make a difference. To share your promise and to donate funds to our passion, log on to 1320LeftChannel.com.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio. Government inspected and disapproved.
Hey, I'm Jackie Guerra, and this is the Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio. It's 34 past the hour. Rachel's out today, and she'll be back on Monday. Coming up, that North Korean nuclear test had some unintended consequences involving condoms. I'll tell you that story. But right now, joining us in the studio is a Grammy Award-winning musician, a passionate progressive activist, and the host of the Steve Earle Show right here on Air America Radio, Steve Earle. Steve Earle, welcome to the show.
It's good to be here.
Thank you. So let's start off talking about some issues, and then we'll have you play us a tune here in the studio.
Please. All right.
Perfect. Now, I've heard you talk about the arguments that you and your dad used to have about the Vietnam War when that was going on, and then right. how he eventually came to oppose that war.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that the same type of generational and cultural divide is a factor in the way that people are perceiving the Iraq War?
Well, yeah, I think it's a little different. It's a little more complicated because I think we were lied to. I think the people that lied to us during the Vietnam War at least believed the lies that they were telling us. And I'm not sure that these people did. I think that they knew that they were lying and just thought that they could get away with it and thought that they could get away with anything. So I think we're dealing with a population that's much more hurt. And thankfully, I think the backlash may be stronger and quicker and that we may get back on course a little quicker than we did during the Vietnam War.
Well, that's interesting because, I mean, it's super clear that public opinion continues to turn against the Iraq War.
Right.
But what do you think has to happen to really tip the scales to the point where we actually start seeing some of the troops coming home?
Frightening thing is I think you would have seen some troops come home anyway. I think they were just trying to bring them home, you know, sort of under their own terms, and they're just nowhere near smart enough to figure out how to do that now that they got themselves into this mess. But I think they, you know, the administration knew that it wasn't working. And, you know, his biggest fault, as far as I can see, is he's never once even come close to admitting that he was wrong publicly about anything. He's always blamed it on somebody else. And he's got plenty of people to do that, so that process will take a while all by itself.
Well, the first step in recovery is admitting you have a problem,
absolutely.
W.
Absolutely.
You know that.
Absolutely.
Hey, Steve, on my show, Working It, we talk a lot about the role of the labor movement in politics and in the workplace. And quite frankly, the connection that some progressives don't seem to make between labor and progressive politics. Why do you think that disconnect exists?
Well, the disconnect exists at both ends. It's not just progressives that are disconnected from the labor movement. The labor movement is disconnected from progressive politics.
One of the things we in the labor movement have been very critical of our own about is the fact that, you know, during the Vietnam War, the labor movement was mostly in favor of the war, unfortunately.
Right.
But we've taken a very different stance on the Iraq War with groups like U.S. Labor Against the War leading the charge. And today's labor movement...
I mean, I was here in New York during the Republican National Convention. That was sort of the beginning of me sticking my toe into the water and moving to New York. And you know, that huge march, the biggest, you know, anti-war march since the Vietnam War, was largely unions at the heart of that march. And that was one of the coolest things about that week for me.
Excellent. And, you know, also today's labor movement is doing a lot more to support gay rights and immigrants' rights. And I'm wondering, what do you think has happened to bring the labor movement back to a more progressive place?
I think part of it is, when you have, you know, lemons, you make lemonade, and there was a point at which that we've actually started to turn that around. I think the service workers, you know, recently workers that work in hotels and restaurants in large cities in the United States became more and more powerful, and that became sort of the last really powerful union. It was the last union that politicians had to deal with in some constituencies that they wanted to get elected, and that sort of took it out of the hands of some traditional, more powerful, more political American-style trade unions like the Teamsters. And you know, it's one of those things. We have to face the fact that as trade unionists in the United States, we have to face the fact that unions in the United States have a public relations problem, and that public relations problem is not an accident. The unions are equated with organized crime. We have to deal with that. It's not true. It's not fair when it comes to 99.9% of the people that are involved in unions as officers or as rank-and-file members. But the fact of the matter is that is most people's perception of trade unions, and it didn't happen in a vacuum.
Now, one of the issues that you're most vocal about is, of course, the death penalty. And you're one of the most passionate and articulate people out there fighting against the death penalty. And I know that you know that most working folks probably think that this is an issue that isn't ever going to affect them directly. But what's something specific that people should know about the death penalty and how it affects all of us?
Well, I mean, I think it's the best way I know to explain my opposition to the death penalty is I still believe that this is at least at its core a democracy in this country. And I believe that in a democracy, if the government kills people, then I'm killing people. And I still believe that with all my heart. And I object to the damage it does to my spirit for the government to kill people on my behalf. It's me killing people, you know, without my permission.
Wow. Now, Steve, we've got an election coming up in a week and a half, and there's a legitimate chance that the Democrats could take back one or both houses of Congress. Let's just take a minute to be optimistic and hope against hope that they do take back both houses. What's the first thing you'd want them to do?
Well, it's not about what we want them to do. If left to their own devices, they're not going to do, let's be realistic, they're not going to do anything that fundamentally different than what they've done right up until now. There's not that much difference between Democrats and Republicans. But I am much more comfortable in a situation and feel like I've got a fighting chance if I get my butt out in the street and if I, you know, if I get out and I organize and I agitate in a party where at least, you know, one branch of the government isn't controlled by, right, especially this version, very, very ugly version of the Republican Party, then I feel like we have at least a somewhat functioning democracy again. But it is up to us. And what happens the day after the election? But look, we're not even going to be able to take that much credit. These guys kind of screwed themselves, just like, you know, the left has screwed itself over and over and over again for, you know, several times in recent history. But it's up to us, and we can have an effect on what we do the day after the election. We there's a really good chance we're going to have a much easier to deal with playing field, and we better get out there and we better do something. We better make our voices heard this time.
Right. So it's a two-pronged attack. Number one, you got to get out there and vote on election day,
absolutely.
And then the day after, you got to hold these folks accountable and make sure that they in fact are representing you, and democracy depends on them speaking on your behalf and making decisions that make sense for average Americans. We're talking to Steve Earle, singer, songwriter, activist, and host of The Steve Earle Show, which airs here on Air America Sundays at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. You know, we just have a few more minutes, and it looks like you brought your guitar. You want to break it down for us?
I think it's really important that we, you know, remember right now that we're getting somewhere. Finally, and it looks like we really got a chance to bring these kids home, and it's keep in mind that the people that opposed us, the other regular people that didn't agree with us about that, it's really important not to go around being too addicted to being right now, and let's just get them home. And keep in mind that the people that supported sending these kids over there in the first place were lied to, and they bought a bill of goods, and they were afraid not to, and we need to be kind of good to each other and remember what this is all about. Jimmy joined the army 'cause he had no place to go, 'cause there ain't nobody hiring right here since all the jobs in down in Mexico. Reckon they'll learn himself a trade, maybe see the world. Move to the city someday, marry a black-haired girl. Somebody somewhere had another plan. Now he's got a rifle in his hand. He's rolling in Baghdad and wondering how he got this far. Just another poor boy off to fight a rich man's war. Bobby got an eagle and a flag tattooed on his arm. Red, white, and blue to the bone when he landed in Kandahar. Left behind a pretty young wife and a baby girl. Stack of overdue bills and went off to save the world. It's been a year and he's still there, chasing ghosts in the thin dry air. Me right back at home, a finance company took his car. It's just another poor boy off to fight a rich man's war. And take our turn, keep telling ourselves we're free. Holly was a second son of a second son.
weapon. Guys are throwing bottles and rocks when the tanks are coming. Nothing else to do around here, it's just the game children play. Something about living in fear all your life makes you hard that way. But he answered when he got the call, wrapped himself in death and he praised Allah. Then a fat man in a new Mercedes drove him to the door. He's just another poor boy off to fight a rich man's war.
Woo! Woo! Grammy award-winning musician, passionate progressive activist, and the host of the Steve Earle Show right here on Air America Radio. Steve Earle, muchas gracias. Thank you so much. This was amazing.
Thank you.
Coming up, what makes South Koreans horny, baby? The end of the world, apparently. I'll explain when we come back. This is The Rachel Maddow Show. I'm Jackie Guerra, in for Rachel today, and this is Air America Radio.
You're listening to The Rachel Maddow Show.
I'm at the top of my game. I'm right up there with the big dogs. Leave the saving of the world to the men? I don't think so.
On Air America Radio.
Stop Mad Cowboy this.
About gas prices.
It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it, extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is, riding on the bus with poor people. New rule, call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
The Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio. Pop the hood. Let's see what's making that noise.
Welcome back to The Rachel Maddow Show on Air America Radio. I'm not Rachel. I'm Jackie Guerra filling in for Rachel. She'll be back on Monday. We're coming down to the home stretch here. It's almost time to punch out. I know it's the end of the week and we're all ready for the weekend, but I want to bring in my producer, Dan Pashman. Hey, Dan, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm great. Now, you know, we have a couple of pretty interesting, funny stories, and I guess I'll rip off Rachel and call them my pet stories. But listen to this. Condom sales and bookings at several of South Korea's pay-by-the-hour love motels surged in the aftermath of North Korea's nuclear test, according to statistics released Thursday. A surge, they say. You know, I first of all, the fact that the condom sales are up, interesting.
Right.
But who knew that South Korea was filled with love motels?
Seriously, and who knew they kept statistics on that? Like, according to statistics released Thursday?
Right, is that like versus the ones that came out on Tuesday.
Right, the biweekly sex statistics in South Korea.
But it goes on. It says the biweekly sex statistic from South Korea goes on to say that South Koreans are used to living in the shadow of war, and life has continued as normal across the country in the wake of the October 9th explosion. But more statistics. Statistics on the number of condoms sold in recent weeks suggest that despite their apparently relaxed reaction to North Korea's bluster, many South Koreans may be seeking solace in sex.
There's worse ways to seek solace, I guess, huh?
Yep, that's true. Did I say solace? Solace.
Let's not split hairs. We're parents are immigrants.
Apparently, there are a lot of Michael Douglas fans in South Korea. Here's another one that's really one of those seriously too good to be true stories. Police in Torrington, Connecticut, were looking for a robber whose disguise was, get this, a rubber Halloween mask of President George W. Bush.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Charles Gardner told police that he was on the front steps of his home Wednesday when the robber with a gun demanded the cash. Police said the robber in the Bush mask, who also used a bad Southern accent.
At least he committed. He committed to the impersonation / robbery.
He's a method actor. Oh, my God. The robber in the Bush mask with the bad Southern accent put the gun barrel to Gardner's temple and demanded money. Gardner said he'd just been to the bank to cash his $1,000 Social Security check when he was robbed. So when I tell you George Bush wants to steal your Social Security money, you're not kidding.
Seriously. Yeah, but I saw this article, Jackie, and I was thinking, you know how they have copycat crimes sometimes?
Yeah.
Like, there are so many options here for ironic, you know, presidential mask-related, you know, activities. I mean, like, you could put on a Nixon mask and break into Watergate. You could, you know, put on a Reagan mask and stumble around the street in your underpants. You could, you could put on a Thomas Jefferson mask and have interracial sex. I mean, there's so many things that you can do in the copycat realm here.
All in the good fun of Halloween.
Yeah. Exactly.
But why limit yourself, really? You're really just paying homage to the historical achievements of leaders of the past.
That's
Isn't
true.
That what you're pointing out for the folks, Dan?
I guess so.
So brilliantly?
I guess so.
The Clinton mask, you walk around and just be brilliant.
Yeah, or go to the White House and get...
Up, 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 I got another story for you, Melfi.
Oh, sorry.
You know, Carmen Electra, your favorite method actress.
Oh, yeah.
And Paris Hilton, my favorite, are reportedly trying to get gigs for New Year's Eve hosting celebrations in Miami, New York, or Los Angeles. Get this. Hilton wants $100,000 plus expenses in a private jet for her to host a party for you. So basically, she's creating a new kind of job for herself, and we've all seen her perform her job. Now she wants $100,000
Man.
For doing her job.
My question is, who in their right mind would pay $100,000 to see something that you can get on YouTube? I mean...
You know what I love about this is that here's this, like, rich heiress, right, pimping herself out to do a job.
Right.
Now, what do people say when they're caring on a bit about immigration? They say that these outsiders are coming to small towns and taking people's jobs and not speaking English and not paying taxes. Hello, have you watched The Simple Life? The show starring Paris the heiress?
Yeah.
That's all she does is take jobs. She doesn't speak good English. And can I just add, rich people don't pay taxes. But seriously, talk about coming to a town and not making an attempt to fit in and imposing your culture onto us. Paris is always smoking and putting on bronzer and making messes in people's homes. And she doesn't speak English. I cannot understand a damn thing this girl says. That's a... Between the ridiculous bumper sticker speak and the baby talk, she has single-handedly dumbed down America one time, town at a time. I'm over it.
Yeah.
I say, you want to deal with the immigration problem? Send Paris back. Well, Dan, it's all just about time for me to sign off. But before I do, you know what? I really want to thank Rachel Maddow for asking me to fill in for her. I've had a wonderful time. Muchas gracias, Rachel. You know I think you're great. Rachel will be back on Monday. And in the meantime... Please check out my show on Air America, Workin' It, which airs tomorrow on most affiliates. You can also check out the free Workin' It show archive at the show website, workinitradio.com. Don't forget to set your clocks back on Saturday, people. You get to sleep for another hour. I'm Jackie Guerra, in for Rachel Maddow. This is...
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Halls Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and Almond Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
Listening to AM 1320 KCTC.
Sacramento.
Sacramento's left channel. Because you deserve the truth.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
Looks like the battle will go on through the weekend in the canyons east of Los Angeles. CBS News reporter Stephen Kaufman is covering.
There's no shortage of resources as more than 1,000 firefighters backed by aircraft are attempting to make some progress in containing a wildfire in California's Riverside County. Janet Upton with the State Department of Natural Resources says because the fire is being fanned by high winds, crews are planning for a worst-case scenario.
A wind shift to come from the northwest, which would push the fire in a southeasterly direction towards the community of Idlewild. That's only a possibility that we're prepared for. It's not occurred at this time.
The high winds are expected to last through Saturday. Stephen Kaufman, CBS News, Beaumont, California.
4 years ago this month, the Washington area was terrorized by a series of random sniper attacks. John Allen Muhammad and his then-teenage accomplice, Lee Boyd Malvo, were later convicted. They've been linked to other shootings around the country, and now, after questioning, police in Tucson say Malvo has confessed to shooting a 60-year-old man on a golf course in March 2002. What did he say? Vice President Cheney, asked in a radio interview about dunking suspected terrorists in water, said it was a no-brainer for him, but went on to say the United States does not torture. At the White House today, spokesman Tony Snow insisted Cheney did not confirm the use of the technique called waterboarding, even by accident.
You got Dick Cheney, who's been head of an intelligence committee. He's been the Secretary of Defense. He's been the Vice President. This is not a guy who slips up.
Even if he wasn't confirming it, critics say Cheney's comment amounts to an endorsement of waterboarding. The fifth and possibly deciding game of the World Series is about to get underway.
This is Steve Futterman at Busch Stadium. It's been a very cold, windy, rainy day here in St. Louis. The rain has stopped, but it's still very windy and very cold. When the game begins, it will be near 40. With the wind chill factored in, it will be in the 30s, and the rain still might come back. This could be the final game of the year. A Cardinals win will give them the series. A Tiger win sends the series back to Detroit.
CBS News correspondent John Harshey reports there's a new attempt to boost airfares.
United started it, announcing a $6 round-trip increase because of high fuel prices. The higher fares apply to many routes where United competes against low-cost carriers, except routes where there's head-to-head competition with Southwest. That airline is not raising fares. At bestfares.com, Tom Parsons has doubts these increases will last because the traditional airlines are not controlling ticket prices.
They have to compete with these low-cost carriers, and they're going to have to match them dollar for dollar, apple for apple, oranges for oranges.
Parsons suggests airfare shoppers wait through the weekend to see if these increases stick. John Harchie, CBS News, Washington.
The Dow down 73 points today, but still finished higher for the week at 12,090. The Nasdaq lost 28 points to close at 2350, and oil prices edged up a bit to $60.75 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm Sterling Marley, driver the number 14 Waste Management Chevrolet.
And I'm Bill Lester, driver of the number 23 Waste Management car.
You know, we're just two drivers of a team of 30,000.
That's because our team at Waste Management has drivers and pit crews all over the country.
So if you're revved up for a new career, call Waste Management at 877-220-JOBS.
Call now and get it in gear.
From everyday collection to environmental protection, think green, think Waste Management. Call 877-220-JOBS today.
If there were a store on your main street called Peace of Mind, would you pay it a visit? On main streets all across America, there is such a place, New York Life. We have been offering customers peace of mind for over 160 years. Peace of mind comes from our agents who adhere to the values of financial strength, integrity, and humanity. So look for us in your town. Peace of mind is why New York Life is the company you keep.
They say timing is everything, and a Ford worker in Georgia facing the imminent loss of his job had great timing today. Reporter Pete Combs has the story.
It wasn't a day 52-year-old Jerome McGinnis was really looking forward to. The Ford assembly plant in Hapeville, Georgia was shutting its doors. The last tourist was rolling off the line. Oh, and it was raining. But then McGinnis rolled into a gas station, and his world changed forever.
He bought his ticket, and he paid for the gas up front, and he got so excited when he bought the ticket that he forgot to get the gas.
Georgia Lottery Director Margaret DeFrancisco says the ticket won McGinnis almost $250,000. Not bad for your last day at work. McGinnis says he'll invest the money. Pete Combs, CBS News, Atlanta.
Nearly 2,000 jobs were eliminated when the last tourist left the factory today. The car was sold to Truett Cathy, founder of Chick-fil-A. He credits the success of his first restaurant to all the business he got from workers at the Hapeville plant. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
It's here.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it.
Miss Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all, you think you got all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels. Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Politically Direct with David Bender. David's guests tonight are Los Angeles radio host Harrison and actor and activist Ryken Lemkuhl.
I would live like a free man, shake the chains from my soul, change my direction to heal my reflection, stepping out into the gold.
Hello and welcome to the program. Well, apparently today is Gay Day here on Politically Direct. And, of course, some people suggest that it's hard to make that distinction on any show that I'm hosting. But I'll leave that to other wags to wag about. But quite seriously, I'm really pleased and proud to welcome two openly gay men to the program today. In the second half of the show, we'll be joined by Ryken Lemkuhl, whose powerful new memoir, Here's What We'll Say, recounts his painful and deeply personal experiences as a closeted gay cadet at the U.S. Air Force Academy just at the time Don't Ask, Don't Tell was being implemented. But first up is one of the best, brightest, and funniest progressive voices on the air today. And yes, he happens to be gay. And if you happen to live in the greater Los Angeles area, one of the real perks is that you get to hear him on a nightly basis. He's the host of Harrison on the Edge, heard from 8 to 10 p.m. Monday through Friday on 1150 KTLK, and also streamable at his website, goharrison.com. Harrison, welcome to Politically Direct.
Thank you so much, David. Always a treat to hear your voice.
Well, we can do kudos back and forth. I can top that kudo. You are doing something, and we talked about this yesterday with Hal Sparks. You are doing something quite extraordinary tomorrow. And for those who are listening to this show on KTLK, it's actually later this morning in about 10 hours. You're going to be at Hollywood and Vine to kick off a march for world peace and global unity with the grandson of Mahatma Gandhi, Arun Gandhi. And this is an outstanding thing, and you, sir, are at the center of all of it, having been really the driving force to make this happen. So, again, kudos, and tell us about it.
Well, thank you. I have to say that this was not born out of, laughing and slapping my knee. Basically, there was a gay pride parade here in June that was really rather disappointing, in my opinion. I was doing commentary for one of the cable stations, and they said, don't say anything political. And the day before, Congress had tried to write this entire group of people out of the Constitution, and they said, well, just mention the sponsors. And it occurred to me that looking around, it was just a bunch of intercourse jellies and American Airlines. Has this group been reduced simply to that? And so I went on my show, and I said, you know, we need to have a proper civil rights march. Gays plus one, bring your own oppressed minority. So all the phones lit up, and I realized, uh-oh, now I've done it. And then a couple of days before 9/11, I'm watching CNN and MSNBC, and it's nothing but a string of four-star generals yelling, blow them up! Blow them up! And I realized, so that's the answer?
Well, that's what four-star generals are good at.
Yeah, impeccably good
that's
at.
That's how you get the fourth star.
Yeah, the fifth one, if you're very lucky. Sadly, as we know, a lot of people have to lose their lives for that. But it occurred to me, having followed this Mr. Gandhi around, who's very anonymous, very humble, a lot of people don't even know he's out there. And so we were able to track him down, and we had him on 9/11 for an hour. And it was an extraordinary hour for me, talking about spirituality and nonviolence. And I asked him right there, I said, would you, if I put together a March for World Peace, would you lead it? And you, as a radio guy, David, will appreciate this. He said, well, I have to think about it. So 40 seconds of dead air, which in radio, it's like the hotline lights up, the manager, what's going on up there? But if Mr. Gandhi needs 40 seconds, he's going to get it.
So he was thinking about it live.
He was thinking about it live because, you know, this stuff doesn't happen really, you know, often. And it's risky business as well. So he's thinking about it live, and he said, yes, the time in the world is now. We need to do this. And so it became a thing. And then I kept championing the cause. And alas, all the amazing people in L.A. and all over the world, as a matter of fact, jumped in. We have the United Nations Associations in California. Kofi Annan's office contacted us. Now it is a worldwide movement, believe it or not, with Japan and Spain, Italy, and, of course, North and South Mexico and Canada. And I think in March we're supposed to go, and Mr. Gandhi is going to be giving a speech at the tomb of Cleopatra. And so, wow, huh?
So on top of everything else, this whole thing is fabulous.
Well, it is Hollywood. We are doing it at Hollywood and Vine. So that part will have a little bit of spectacle. But there's a reason that I wanted to do it there, is I want the public face of this to have a different look. Instead of a bunch of protesters with green hair and peace symbols, my people, of course.
My people, too, let's be clear.
My people, too, exactly. I wanted this to have, you know, elderly people at the front, so that in the so-called red states, they would see, well, these people must have thought about this, and they don't look that threatening. And, you know, have stages leading the march. So it's going to have a different flavor, and it's for peace. It's not anti-anti, it's peace.
When we talked about it with Hal Sparks yesterday, that was one of the key points that he made. And let me just tell people that Hal Sparks, actor and comedian, musician and all-around good guy, and Cindy Sheehan are going to co-host the rally that follows the march at Plummer Park at 2 o'clock in Los Angeles. And people can find out more about this by going to your website, goharrison.com. But what Hal said, and I thought was really striking, Harrison, was that this was not a reaction. This was a action. This was in favor of global unity, in favor of peace. This was not defining ourselves against war, even though we are. It's about what we're for.
Exactly. You know, and as Gandhi said, you have to become the thing that you actually want to happen. I mean, we know this is it's a very simple spiritual axiom. And while this is not necessarily a spiritual movement, it is about all of us uniting and becoming the very thing that we all want to see, which is quite clearly world peace. And if you have that, all the other issues that we deal with suddenly get solved, because we're so busy working on the crack in the sidewalk as opposed to fixing the whole sidewalk. And this is about the big picture, which, of course, then fixes the symptoms. If you deal with the source, the symptoms get repaired.
So on top of everything else, you're going to have people who are actually fixing Hollywood and Vine, which we, you know.
Well, it is getting gentrified slowly but surely. But I think with all of the really well-wishing, good-looking people that have amassed there from all over the world, I think Hollywood and Vine is going to be the best looking it's been since about 1941.
Is Gandhi going to get his star tomorrow on Hollywood Boulevard?
I did advocate for that. I talked to the unofficial mayor of Hollywood.
Johnny Grant.
And that ends up being a $20,000, you know, you purchase that business nowadays. You don't have to actually stand for or represent anything except a wallet. So we've done something better. We've got basically a plaster of Paris pan. Mr. Gandhi's going to step into it, and it's going to be the first step for world peace. And that footprint is going to be carried around the world, country to country, as we continue this worldwide movement.
You know, Harrison, that is a great, great image. Grumman's Chinese, where, you know, Hollywood has been immortalized, but immortalizing a step for peace, the first step for peace, what a great idea.
Yeah, it really is something. And, you know, the best part is we've got people from all over the world who cannot necessarily be there. We have a technician who thinks that we can actually stream video of this live using my laptop and my cell phone, which has a wireless broadband, that we can portably stream this thing live through the internet without any wires.
Well, new technology meets, old spirituality. My guest is Harrison. He is the host of Harrison on the Edge, heard nightly on KTLK, 8 to 10 p.m. in Los Angeles. We need to take a quick break. You're listening to Politically Direct on Air America Radio. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Mama, you see what I see? On your knees and pray for me.
Join us on our blog at politicallydirectradio.com.
Charlie, don't want another beer. Tonight I'm going to drink my tears. Matilda's come back to me. Go ask the maid if she heard what I said. Tell her to change the sheets on the bed. Matilda's come back to me. Fellas, don't leave me tonight. Tonight I'm going back to fight. Wretched Matilda's inside. My heart, stop beating so. Just make as if you didn't know.
Perfectly. I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly.
Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA Four Diamond Casino Resort. Just join the Cash Club and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit cashcreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
Cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your ass. New rule, no more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
The
The color pink represents the promise to find a cure for breast cancer. That promise started the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation and ignited the passion of millions to create a world without breast cancer. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We are reaching out to you to make a difference this month by making a personal donation to the Komen Foundation and by showing your passion for the cure by wearing pink one or more days in October. Anything you can do to heighten the awareness of this cause can make a difference. To share your promise and to donate funds to our passion, log on to 1320levchannel.com.
Politically direct.
Hey, if you don't like it, go to Russia.
Here's David Bender on Air America Radio.
No, Democrat.
Celebrity voice impersonated.
Liberals are lying about Congressman John Hostetler's record. John Hostetler has never taken a penny of big oil or any other special interest money. John Hostetler has never voted for a pay raise, and he has never voted to cut overtime pay. So why are liberals smearing Congressman Hostetler? Because they want you to vote for Brad Ellsworth so he can cast his first vote for Speaker of the House for San Francisco liberal Nancy Pelosi. Speaker Pelosi will then put in motion her radical plan to advance the homosexual agenda led by Barney Frank, reprimanded by the House after paying for sex with a man who ran a gay brothel out of Congressman Frank's home.
And we're back. What you just heard was not Clint Eastwood, but it's a radio spot that is running right now in Indiana to promote the reelection of Republican John Hostetler. And, you know, he clearly is standing four square against the radical homosexual agenda. Harrison, do you have your copy of the radical homosexual agenda? I can't find mine.
I've been writing it for years. I just can't get it published.
Well, you know, there's now clearly a market for it. Do you believe this guy?
Well, you know, I always say if you spot it, you got it. Anybody that obsessed with what may or may not be going on in another person's bedroom when the lights are out seriously has an appetite for it, much greater than me.
I'm not going to try and measure your appetite, but it is truly astounding that this election is now turning on, well, turning on pages. It's turning on the closeted homosexuals, and I'm not suggesting John Hostetler is. I don't care. I wouldn't want him if he was.
No, he doesn't need to be part of my team.
You know, thank you very much. But Mark Foley and, you know, an out gay man, Jim Colby, these are the people who are now the discussion points for how this Republican Congress has grown out of touch. It's really astounding that that's happened.
Well, it's interesting how the oppressor is always the one making the legislation against certain naughty behaviors. They're the ones who do it themselves and therefore have to legislate against each other. The people who are out there in the world doing good works are very busy doing good works and not frustrated and obsessed with other people's genitalia.
It is astounding how, you know, those folks are the ones who now are hoist on their own petard, as Shakespeare wrote. I mean, that after all of this, after having run a series of elections and still doing it, you know this little factoid, Karl Rove's beloved stepfather was an openly gay man. Did you know that?
Right, living in Palm Springs, and Karl had a very close connection with him, and yet simultaneously, Karl, as you remember, was responsible for getting Bush into the governorship in Texas by claiming that Ann Richards was going to, again, like Nancy Pelosi, advance the radical homosexual agenda.
It is absolutely amazing to me that these people, you know, at the end of the day, it goes back to the words that were said to Joe McCarthy. Do you have any shame? And they have none.
Well, and gladly right now, they are right in front of everybody parading as themselves. The masks are down, and we're seeing who the kids are in the sandbox. that are not making nice, and it's beautiful. Unfortunately, 6 years, over half a decade, had to pass before we could start to see the man behind the curtain.
Let me ask you just in our remaining minutes, and again, I want to remind people that the rally for world peace and global unity will begin tomorrow at 11 a.m. It's actually Saturday, October 28th, 11 a.m. at Hollywood and Vine. You can get information about it at goharrison.com, your website. But this is for those of us who are openly gay and in this world, it is an interesting moment because one of the things that's happening in Washington is some of these closeted gay Republicans are being outed now, staff people, members of Congress on a regular basis. How do you feel about that, Harrison?
Well, you know, outing is a tough call, isn't it? I mean, I think, you know, that's anybody's business how much they want to reveal about their personal life so long as they're not damaging other people by keeping themselves hidden.
And that's the measurement I always have used. And so the question is, are these people who, like Mark Foley, who often voted in favor of human rights campaign agenda items legislatively, but they're also keeping people like Dennis Hastert and John Boehner and Tom DeLay in power. What is the measurement here?
Yeah, it's like writing a check to the Ku Klux Klan while you're wearing a Brooks Brothers suit as opposed to a bed sheet. You know, it's what you're doing with your checkbook.
Yeah, you know, at the end of the day, that's, you know, that is really the measurement. And, you know, I think a lot of these folks who have been given a pass are not going to have it any longer.
Well, and, you know, thank you, David, for also doing what you do, which is constantly opening people's minds and putting light in dark spots. And we really need that to have a healthy, vibrant, civil society. Imagine, civil society. We had that some years ago. We're bringing it back one by one. And this thing that we're doing tomorrow is going to be an extraordinary moment because it's nonpartisan. That was the other thing I wanted to do. It's about peace. It's not about Republicans, Democrats, independents, incontinence, none of that stuff. It's about world peace.
I'm glad it's not about incontinence. You know, that's a relief. We won't play that pun any further. Harrison, thank you so much for joining us. Best of luck. I will be there in spirit. I can't wait to see the footprint of Gandhi as it makes its way around the world. And come back and talk to us again and let us know how it went.
Thank you so much, David. And thank you for spending time with me at the Burbank Airport.
Well, and all of us spending time with you at the Burbank Airport. That's the Bob Hope International Airport.
It is. I'm standing here with my twister. That's twin sister.
Well, thanks. Thanks for the memories, Harrison.
See you, David.
AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Lisa West here for traffic and weather from the left. Our lows tonight, we're going to see right around 55. Highs coming up tomorrow, 81. It's going to be a beautiful weekend, really. Maybe some breeze going on. I don't think we're going to see any precipitation, though. And we're currently at 78. Now, our traffic southbound 99 is just backed up. I mean, it's pretty slow. We have a couple of car crashes, Fruit Ridge Road, Sheldon, it looks like Elk Grove Boulevard, oh no, yeah, Laguna Boulevard as well. I-5 and at J Street, we have a two-car crash, and southbound I-5, Laguna Boulevard, our traffic light that we usually have problems with over there is stopping traffic down. Enid Live will be back on Monday. I'm Lisa West for traffic and weather from the left at AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
Pamela Falk, a joy talking to you.
Well, you know I'm your biggest fan. You go from hilariously funny to unbelievably informed.
And then they cry.
And then they cry.
Scott and Sims, mornings, 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Doc, I've just about given...
The Internet. It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Tubes. It really is the Internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the Internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal Internet, that is you and me. You and me is that tubes. The Internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Faster than a neocon wingnut chasing the dream of democracy at the end of a gun. More powerful than a Halliburton lobbyist. It's Politically Direct with David Bender on Air America Radio.
So many times, I said that I love him. Of a mess,
and welcome back. My next guest is perhaps best known for the intelligence and athleticism that won him the $1 million grand prize on The Amazing Race. But he's joining us today in an entirely different capacity. He's the author of a new book, a really fascinating and I think important memoir called Here's What We'll Say, Growing Up, Coming Out, and the U.S. Air Force. Ryken Lemkuhl, thanks for joining us on Politically Direct.
Thank you for having me.
Well, this book, it's going to be a revelation to a lot of people, and I want to walk folks through this. You had made a decision to join the U.S. Air Force Academy. Why the Air Force?
Well, my grandmother was a pilot in World War II. She was one of the handful of women that flew for our country at that time. She was a WASP, Women's Air Service pilot, and she pretty much got me into flying as a little kid and really taught me everything I knew at that time about flying.
She took you up with her in planes?
Yeah. And, you know, I dedicate my book to her, Thank You for Teaching Me How to Fly, in so many ways. And it's true because she really motivated me, you know, especially in my teenage years, to go ahead and try to get a nomination from Congress to apply to the Academy. And I got my congressional nomination, and then I applied, and I got in.
Who nominated you, reckon? Who was your congressman?
Ironically, it was Barney Frank who nominated me, who at the time was an openly gay congressman.
So you were nominated, and it takes a nomination, for people who don't know this, to go to the Academy. What year was this? When did you join?
I went to the Academy in summer of 92, right when I graduated high school, went right into the Air Force Academy, and then I served my 4 years there, got out of the Academy as a second lieutenant, and then I became a captain after 5 years, and I got out as a captain.
Well, let's go back. In 92, when you entered, this was the midst of a presidential campaign. Bill Clinton was running for his first term. And then, of course, in 93, in, you know, part of your first year there, is when the whole issue of gays in the military and don't ask, don't tell first came up. Were you following this as an enrollee in the Academy?
Yeah, actually, when I first got into the Academy, I remember it was during my freshman year when Clinton was elected, and, you know, he had enacted the don't ask, don't tell policy. And I remember cadets were extremely furious at the Academy because their leadership, you know, has been telling them for years how awful gay people are and how gay people are not fit to serve and this and that. And, you know, some cadets were playing the song, It's the End of the World as We Know It by R.E.M. out their window. I mean, just horrible stuff. And then the writing on the bathroom walls even just explained how they felt. I saw one guy had written, what are they going to call the new freshman class, Homos Stick 96? Or, you know, it was like stuff like that. It was really disturbing, you know, to see all the anger that gay people were going to be allowed in, even though they still weren't going to be allowed to talk about it, which created a whole nother atrocity, which I go into in my book.
Now, you had not yet self-identified as a gay man at this point?
No, I mean, I think, like, the majority of kids who are my age, you know, at that time, they don't know they're gay. They know that they've had feelings, but they suppress them really, really deeply. You want to fit in at that age. You want to fit in your high school. You date girls if you're a guy, and you know, you want to do what everyone else is doing, and the thought of your being gay is like, it's really something you don't think you can handle at that age unless you have parents who have really drilled into your head that it would be okay. I know for myself, I went in knowing that I had had very close friendships with some of my friends. It wasn't reciprocated, but I remember feeling extremely close to some of my male friends, but I never chalked it up to being gay because I thought, no, there's absolutely no way, that's not me. And then with maturity over my freshman year and with the experience of leaving home, and like I said, for the majority of kids that enter the military, all of a sudden you come into this and you realize, you know what, I can't deny this anymore. And you also go through basic training and you become a different person, a person of integrity, and you realize I've got something that I have to admit about myself and I've never wanted to admit it before. And then there you are in the military under contract to serve a couple more years and you're gay. And it's very scary.
What was the moment? Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I actually talk about it in the book, and it's a time when my friend from right down the hall showed me this new chat thing that colleges were doing. It was a chat program, and no one had ever heard of chat at this time. This is, again, this was 1992, and so I got on this chat program and started chatting with people in other schools, you know, around the country, and they thought it was so cool to be chatting with someone, a cadet from the Air Force Academy. And I remember the chat program went through the University of Missouri. We had to log into some weird thing, and I didn't even know our computers could connect to other places at that time. So it was pretty neat, and I started talking to this guy, and we were just chatting back and forth, and he started to tell me that he was gay and the feelings he was having. And I was fascinated by this guy. I wanted to, like, hear more. And I didn't know why, but I knew that I just was fascinated to hear about it. And the more we talked back and forth, I said to myself, I do the same things this guy does. I think the same way he does. And that's when it really started to hit me. It was when I started talking to this other person.
So at that point, though, you know, and again, if this is your freshman year, there wasn't even Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It was evolving. It would evolve in 93. This was unthinkable to talk about with anyone, any of your fellow cadets. Is that right?
unthinkable. It would have been career suicide. I had just been through a nomination, just been through getting into the Academy, just been through a practical hometown parade in celebration of my getting in. So you're not going to talk about it. You're not going to come out to them. Besides, you know, knowing that being homosexual in certain cases is still a jailable offense in our U.S. military, depending on, you know, how they convict you of being gay. Also knowing that the environment at the Academy was very hateful toward any kind of homosexual anything. And again, that came down from leadership.
And yet you said something earlier that part of the maturing process was learning to know who you were and demonstrate the integrity that the Air Force Academy asks of people who are there, and integrity being a crucial part of what they are trying to develop in all of you, and yet they're forcing you to lie.
That's right. I couldn't have said that better myself. The core values of the Air Force Academy, there are three, and they are in this order: integrity first, service before self, and excellence in everything you do. So right there, you have this don't ask, don't tell policy, which really is telling a gay person that they have permission to lie. You can be here, but you can't talk about it. Don't ask, don't tell should be called, we know you're here, but we don't want to deal with you yet because we don't know how to. So, yeah, it's a really terrible policy when you put it in the face of the integrity that the Academy preaches cadets to hold.
And that leads to the title of your book, and we're going to come back in just a moment and talk about that. Here's what we'll say is the book, Growing Up, Coming Out in the U.S. Air Force. Ryken Lemkul is the author. He's our guest today on Politically Direct. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Take your mind back. I don't know when. Sometime when I always
if Halloween scares you.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's At
AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Kaida Sell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks in the Detroit and Saginaw, you might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the west, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320.
My mom always told me that miracles happen every day.
Now, Politically Direct with David Bender on Air America Radio.
Some people don't think so, but they do.
Funny how we seem to made it. Funny how we can even walk up straight. Last night you said I'm waiting. When I got home, much too late.
And welcome back. We're talking with Ryken Lemkuhl. He is the author of Here's What We'll Say, Growing Up, Coming Out in the U.S. Air Force, a memoir of his experience having been at the U.S. Air Force Academy during the implementation of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Ryken, before the break, we were talking about how you first came to terms with this. Now, in your book, you write about the fact that you're, and it speaks to the title of the book, Here's What We'll Say, your fellow cadets ultimately had to meet in secret. As you came to know other gay and lesbian cadets, you had to come up with cover stories, right? If anyone found out, you know, or had suspicions, Here's What We'll Say became your motto.
That's true. We formed a group of friends that I like to call a secret society, because societies have rules and they have codes of conduct. And ours was when we went somewhere that we wanted to, you know, to hide, or we were with people that we needed to hide, we had to make sure that those people all knew the same story we were going to tell if we were ever questioned. And so Here's What We'll Say really represents the lies that we had to tell to get through this policy that gives you permission to lie. And it just goes to show how it really broke down morale in the military. And we would say this all the time, okay, here's what we'll say, just in case anyone asked. And it became kind of a promise so solemn that we had it inscribed on the inside of our class rings when we graduated, you know, some of us cadets.
It's an astounding example of cognitive dissonance, that you're asked to do one thing during the day and then, you know, you have to think about how you can cover for it the rest of the time. You know, you had, and you write about this in this book, you had some terrifying and horrible experiences as a part of this. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, this is even before I had come out hardly to anyone, and I had just really barely come out to myself. I did go through an assault by two upper-class cadets, or who I think were upper-class cadets. I still don't know who they were. My head was covered up in the assault, and it was an assault that was sexual in nature. And the things that they said to me in my ear while it was happening, and the way that they held me down and the way that they kind of detained me was, it was obvious what they were doing, and that they had known, that they had figured out somehow that I was gay, and they wanted to make an example of me. Again, I was just on another show. Yeah, I was on the Tyra Banks show yesterday, and saying, she asked me how I felt about those people, and I had really never thought about it until then, and I said, you know what, I've actually forgiven those people who did it to me, because I really don't know how much of their fault it was. I think it's a leadership issue. I keep saying that when you have leaders who put out this kind of policy into its military, the people under those leaders are going to act accordingly. And I think these guys were probably guys who were gay, who had no other way of releasing that gay energy. The two of them got together and decided to go ahead and pick on a freshman who couldn't say anything. The significant part about the assault, though, really is not what happened to me physically. It's about what happened to me emotionally when I had nowhere to go. There's not a single person I could have told at the academy that could have done anything injustice. I could tell a roommate, I could tell a friend, you know, and the people that I did tell understood when I said, I'm not going to any kind of authority with this. There's no way. And they understood why. Yeah, I don't think you should. I wouldn't, you know, after all that we've been through just to get into this place and all we've been through over basic training in our freshman year, no way, you know, because as a cadet, you don't want to complicate the academic, military, athletic craziness that's going on with you. You're just trying to get through that. Never mind trying to complicate your freshman year with some kind of scandal. So it was really mentally taxing, and I think over the years it really made me cynical about being there.
Reckon, in some way, and I've read this, and correct me if I'm wrong, you felt guilty, and this often happens when people are victims and powerless, that they somehow blame themselves in some way or feel guilty about it. Were those some of the emotions that happened to you?
Yeah, I think it made me even more ashamed of the fact that I was gay. It made me feel like I didn't belong. It made me feel like here I am in this place where I'm not supposed to be gay. So I guess I probably deserved to be assaulted in this way, in this very gay way, so I can't say anything. I mean, really, really terrible feelings I had. It's just been tough. And people are asking me, why are you talking about this now? And the reason is, when I went to write this book, I wasn't going to put the sexual assault in there. And when I got to that point in the story, I really had to dive deep into myself and just go ahead and start typing. And it was very emotional for me to let all of this out.
I'll bet.
And to decide to put it in the book. And now the book is out, and I have to talk about it now because people are going to start asking. So that's why I'm talking about it now.
Well, let me say something that I just have to tell you. You know, as a gay man, as I read this and talk to you, it speaks to the fact that you really did learn that first lesson from the academy, which is integrity. That's what this is about. That's what affirming who you are is about, gay, straight, or whatever. It's about being honest, and you do that in this book, and I, you know, I have to commend you for it, and I know it's not an easy thing to go back and revisit something that was as difficult as that.
I'm so glad you realize that, because it's tough to come out with something like that. And everyone says, aren't you going to press charges? And I say, no, there's nothing that will happen from my pressing charges. The complaint I'm filing is on a public level, and it's with this book. And that's how it's going to work for me. That's what I want to do. I had the Washington Blade interview me yesterday and ask me, what do you say to people who say that you're coming out with this sexual assault story now just to promote your book? And the question really made me sick. Like, I couldn't even believe they asked me that question. I mean, it was really gross. And I guess, you know, sometimes you just can't win. But I really hope that people read it for what it is and see. And when I talk about that assault, I talk about every physical feeling I had during it. And some of them were physical feelings you get during enjoyable sex. They're physical feelings you get when someone holds you that can be positive. And I talk about all the feelings that I go through during this rape scene, not because I want to try to say that I enjoyed it in any way. Of course not. I want to try to show how conflicting and horrible a personal rape can be, and what it really takes, you know, to get through it, and why you don't report it, and why you feel guilty afterwards. Because again, the Blade asked me, like, it seemed like you just enjoyed it. It's like, are you? I mean, if anyone reads that rape scene and at the end thinks that I enjoyed it. You didn't really get the message.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the moments that we have left, let's talk about the positive in your life. The positive is that you've come to a place now where you are, in fact, one of the most prominent openly gay public figures. You went through Amazing Race, openly gay man. You're now involved. Your partner is Lance Bass. You're getting enormous amount of positive feedback for being a role model, for being someone who is open, honest, and comfortable with who you are. In contrast to this part of your life, that's got to be an extraordinarily gratifying place for you to be in.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think after everything that I've gone through that you read about in the book, it's really great to know that it's those things that brought me to this point. And there are so many people who aren't comfortable with who they are, and they come to my book signings, you know, since I've been on this book tour, and they look at me and they say, how do you do it? You make me feel like such a coward because I'm not out. And I look right at them and I say, you're not a coward because you're not coming out of the closet yet. In fact, you're being really smart. A lot of people can't come out because it would really devastate their lives. They would be thrown out of their jobs, like in the case of the military. Their parents might throw them out of their homes, and they would be putting their lives in grave danger. And unfortunately, we live in a world still today that works this way. And, you know, I'm trying to change that from the outside, and so you are, and so many others are. But I say to them, don't feel like a coward. What you need to do if you really want to come out now is get a good group of people behind you, like your family or your friends or family of your friends, and let them know what you're about to do and what you need to do. And make sure just that you'll be okay, that your basic necessities of life will be taken care of. Then you can come out, and I promise that when you do, good things will start happening to you because you're living in this truth and you have other people who are watching your back, because you're not going to be able to do it alone for the most part.
You tell all of that to Lance? Certainly in the way he came out, I have to say, it gave a lot of people, again, that same feeling of here's someone who arrived at a place and wasn't easy, having gone through the kind of public role he's had, and was finally comfortable with it and did it in his own way and in the right way.
Yeah, and I'm really proud of Lance. I really think that Lance did all of this on his own, and he's had, you know, his own thoughts, and you know, you could talk to him about that at a later date.
Love to, actually. That would be great.
Yeah. And I just think, you know, as far as how he did it, it's been great. I'm really proud of the courage that he's had. I think with any artist, just like Lance, one of their biggest fears is how the fans are going to react. And Lance's fans have been 99.9% amazing, and it's all the screaming girls, you know, that used to be all over him. I really believe, just in seeing the letters and the pouring of support, they think he's more of a man now than they ever did.
And it also speaks to the fact that what you're doing and what Lance has done is helping to change the environment so more people can do it as well. We really have come a long way.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great. And, you know, it's proof. You're right. You know, just seeing how people have reacted to Lance and to me, it's proof that it's going to be okay eventually.
Well, Ryken, the book is terrific. Here's what we'll say. Growing up, coming out in the U.S. Air Force, we wish you much success with it and on your book tour. Come back and talk to us when you're done. I want to hear the reaction you've had.
You bet.
One way.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320LeftChannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Fierce wind continues to fan the flames in Southern California, where the wildfire in Riverside County has already scorched 40 square miles. Firefighting from the air, says CBS News reporter Stephen Kaufman, is difficult at best.
Flying a firefighting helicopter in gusty wind conditions is not easy and can be downright dangerous. But Frank Podesta, who's in charge of air operations in the fight against the fast-moving wildfire in California's Riverside County, says so far his pilots are able to stay aloft.
Everything is staying pretty much under 30 knots for our pilots, and so everything is flying safely right now. We get stronger winds, then we'd be looking at possibly grounding some of the aircraft.
Because fires create their own weather, pilots need to watch out for sudden updrafts and downdrafts. Stephen Kaufman, CBS News, Banning, California.
The reward for information on who started this fire has quadrupled to $400,000.
We are searching for the arsonists. We will find them. And we will punish them.
Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, it's not only arson, it's murder, with 4 firefighters dead and a 5th critically burned. In Baghdad, U.S. forces have been on the move hunting for a kidnapped American soldier. The man's Iraqi family issued an appeal to his captors today, asking them to show him mercy as a fellow Muslim. U.S. military officials confirmed yet another casualty, bringing the American death toll for the month to 97. Vice President Dick Cheney gave a positive response when an interviewer asked him if dunking a suspected terrorist in water might save American lives. He said, it's a no-brainer for me.
I'm Mark Noller at the White House. Though it sounded like Cheney was endorsing the use of waterboarding when interrogating terrorist suspects, spokesman Tony Snow says no way. Are you kidding, he asked reporters. You think Dick Cheney's going to slip up on something like this, said Snow. He said the administration does not torture and does not discuss interrogation techniques.
There was a brief scare late today at the New York office of former President Bill Clinton when a staffer opened an envelope that contained a white powdery substance. The building was cordoned off, but police and the Secret Service determined the powder was harmless. Mr. Clinton was not there at the time. In the case of those Duke University lacrosse players charged with rape, CBS News correspondent Jim Crisula reports there was a surprise revelation during a court hearing today.
Even though it's been more than 7 months since the alleged crime, Durham County District Attorney Mike Nifong told a judge he's yet to interview the woman who says she was raped by 3 Duke lacrosse players. Nifong says they have talked, but not about specifics of the explosive case. Defense lawyers called the admission surprising.
Second inning of the World Series, no score. The Dow Industrials lost 73 points today, closing at 12,090, still up 0.7% for the week. The NASDAQ lost 28 points. It finished the week at 2350. This is CBS News.
Because financial solutions have no borders or boundaries, because one market affects another market, UBS operates in only 2 locations, everywhere and right next to you. Powerful global resources leveraged every day to the most important issues. Yours. UBS. Leader in wealth management, global asset management, and investment banking. And committed to a relationship we call you and us. Member SIPC.
Some people think all insurance is the same. They buy the least expensive they can find, and then they have an insurance claim. That's when they learn the hard way that not all insurance companies treat you the same. If being treated fairly and paid quickly are important to you when you or your business has a loss, you want Chubb. When you insure with Chubb, you're buying real insurance. So insure with the best. Insure with Chubb. To learn more, go to Chubb.com.
It may have started off as an exercise in democracy, but as CBS News correspondent Lou Miliano reports, it might collide with stark reality.
Elementary school kids in Melrose, Massachusetts are getting a lesson in democracy firsthand. The fifth graders are collecting signatures from classmates on a petition they plan to give local and state education officials to extend recess from 15 to 30 minutes. They may also learn children petitioning adults for a redress of a schoolyard grievance is simply a non-starter. Children have no standing in a democracy. It's cute and entertaining, but unless adults take up the cause, the lesson for the kids is reality bites. Lou Miliano, CBS News.
A couple in western Pennsylvania, members of the Old Order Amish, are violating a tenet of their beliefs in order to protect another. They're suing to prevent the federal government from photographing them so the husband, a Canadian, can become a permanent resident. But by suing, they're going against the Amish belief in non-resistance. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
What's your secret for safety?
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpots. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
It's time for EcoTalk with host Betsy Rosenberg.
She'll be great. She's a very smart, capable person who knows exactly what took place and will lay out the facts. And that's what the American people want to see.
I had a dream the other night. Now, in my dream, our national bird had become the ostrich.
And we're going to be playing some of those facts back to you, George. I hope you're listening carefully. Welcome to EcoTalk. I'm Betsy Rosenberg, and we're going to have bad news and good news today. First, the bad, and that's, the unfortunate present as designed by our retrogressive president and White House, and then a brighter future as envisioned by American ecopreneurs and other true patriots and creative types. We'll meet a few of them in the second half of our program. But first, if we are, as President Bush says, addicted to oil, then he may have just hired the dealer. The Bush administration quietly appointed former Exxon CEO Lee Raymond and the National Petroleum Council to, quote, chart America's energy future. I know, sit down, buckle up. Funny, we thought that was America's energy past. As our first guest, Expose Exxon Shawnee Hoover, will discuss, Raymond is reality challenged even among oil executives and says putting Lee Raymond in charge of addressing America's energy crisis is like putting Jack Abramoff in charge of solving political corruption. Who knows, that may be just their next appointment. Well, in the second half, our passionate solar advocate Adam Browning of the Vote Solar Initiative will join us in studio to talk about the state propositions in California that point the way to an energy independent future, hopefully for the rest of the nation as well. They say as California goes, so goes the rest of the country. Finally, we love creative ventures like Green Dimes. Have you heard about it? It's the latest bright idea from .com business whiz Pankaj Shah. If you give him a dime a day, that's all, he's going to keep you off junk mail lists and plant a tree for you each and every month. I have no idea how, but that's why he's going to tell us how we can sign up and get that junk mail out of our mailbox and get those trees growing where they are needed most. The grassroots do give me hope, and we bring that to you amidst all the bad news. There's so much grist for the green mill. EcoTalk is now proud to welcome Shawnee Hoover of Expose Exxon, who will tell us about the Bush administration's inspired choice for driving America's energy future right over the cliff. Welcome, Shawnee. And what is the latest fossil foolishness coming out of the anything-but-green White House?
Hi, Betsy. It's great to be here. Well, basically what happened is that the Bush's energy secretary, Samuel Bodman, last October turned to former ExxonMobil CEO Lee Raymond, who now chairs the National Petroleum Council, to lead a major, very influential study to basically determine the policy options for solving America's energy crisis from now until 2025.
There hasn't been enough criticism about Exxon's connections to the White House. They need more to give us something to talk about.
Well, that is really what's quite surprising about how blazing this is, but maybe it's not surprising to many of your viewers. But the bottom line is many people really don't know who Lee Raymond is. I mean, we're familiar with ExxonMobil, and hopefully many of your listeners are familiar with ExxonMobil's policies on global warming and on renewable energy. In other words, ExxonMobil is the only major oil giant that does not invest in renewable energies, and they've been really fostering and funding this massive disinformation campaign.
Fueling it. In fact, fueling it directly to the Competitive Enterprise Institute, which is one of those think tanks that's been saying global warming is not a real threat, and we don't need to do anything except voluntary measures.
That's right, exactly. So they've been funding, you know, these global warming skeptics. They've been all over the map on really trying to block any kind of action on global warming. They've been thanked by the White House for their active involvement in crafting our global warming policy, which, of course, our global warming policy is really this voluntary kind of let's research the problem more because, you know, 2,000 scientists with the IPCC internationally haven't quite figured out the problem, I suppose.
You know, we're laughing, but there are such serious consequences.
Yeah, there really are. There really are. So, you know, here again, part of the question that gets raised is clearly there could be a role for the National Petroleum Council, which is essentially the mouthpiece of big oil. There could be a role in the oil industry talking about their assessment of oil supply, right, the world over.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's what this policy, if that's what the Energy Department was actually asking the Petroleum Council and Lee Raymond, who's charging it, then that, you know, could almost be understandable. But in fact, they're asking, instead, they're asking the Petroleum Council to do this major study that looks at and assesses the contribution of the entire alternative energy sector, including energy efficiency, biofuels, wind power, solar energy, right, and the ability of those other technologies to get online. And
so,
clearly that there's a conflict of interest there, and so that's really a major problem.
No.
I can talk a little bit about Lee Raymond.
Please do.
Which I think kind of puts this in context, because like with any organization, when you have a leader of that organization who is of a certain mindset, it really can influence the way the entire organization functions. And so Lee Raymond was essentially the head of ExxonMobil, or was in a leadership role of ExxonMobil for the past 18 years. And he's really the mastermind between ExxonMobil's current position that puts it in this as a rogue amongst its peers on renewable energy, energy security, and global warming. He's made himself very clear that he does not believe that renewable energy is even worthy of investment, that relying on countries like Saudi Arabia is key to our energy policy.
That and probably therefore adapting to global warming, since it's too late to do anything,
right,
if it really exists, right?
Right. Although, actually, they really just kind of sidestepped the whole issue of global warming. ExxonMobil, even to this day, when asked point blank about global warming, oftentimes the current CEO, Rex Tillerson, sidesteps the issue and just talks about how fossil fuels are really going to be we're going to be dependent on them for decades and decades to come, so there's no point in looking elsewhere.
Even though they have a self-interest in keeping their oil rigs intact, if we see another hurricane season like we just did with Katrina knocking them all over, that's not in their interest, but I guess that those are really small potatoes in terms of costs. Looking at the profits, in fact, their quarterly profits just came out. Has Exxon broken even yet?
Broken even. Yeah, so they've come out with, record profits, a record third quarter, $10.490 million. That's, in fact, a record based on their own record that they set in the fourth quarter of 2005. So Yeah, they're doing great, but again, you know, you have to look at this company is doing so well and so much better than the other companies. And when you ask why, of course, there can be multiple factors, but the one issue of not investing in renewable energies, which, as we know, Shell and BP and Chevron, the other oil giants are investing. And, you know, is it enough that there is it? Are they investing enough in alternative energy? No, they're not. So we're really not saying that the other oil companies are perfectly fine. Certainly not.
It's just in comparison to Exxon, they're looking pretty good.
That's right. I mean, the bottom line is that Exxon is really it's the world's most, you know, the world's largest private oil company. It's the most profitable oil company or the most profitable company. And as such, it has incredible influence and is really acting like an anchor that's keeping America from really progressing towards real energy solutions. And so that's what we really want to see. We want to see the company start changing these policies. And when you ask, what are these policies, like Exxon not investing in renewable energy, for example, and really speaking out quite adamantly against investments in renewable energy, what kind of effect does that have on the company? Or what kind of effect does that have, certainly, in our society?
Now, they've been criticized a lot. Have they responded to any of this criticism, or are they just turning the other way and, you know, screwing us all?
They have. When we first came out with the campaign, the Expose Exxon campaign, which is a coalition of a number of the largest environmental and public advocacy groups in the country, when we first launched this campaign last year, they did, in fact, come out with a statement trying to answer some of our claims and, you know, very sadly done. And then they removed it. And they essentially really don't speak much to their people who criticize them, to their critics.
You know, Shawnee, we're gonna continue this conversation after the break, so you don't have to get all that in. If you can just stand by.
Okay.
We'll continue our conversation with Shawna Hoover of Expose Exxon right after these messages.
That's you, sir.
Pink represents the promise to find a cure for breast cancer. That promise started the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation and ignited the passion of millions to create a world without breast cancer. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We are reaching out to you to make a difference this month by making a personal donation to the Komen Foundation and by showing your passion for the cure by wearing pink one or more days in October. Anything you can do to heighten the awareness of this cause can make a difference. To share your promise and to donate funds to our passion, log on to 1320lovechannel.com.
Hey, listen. listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Welcome back to EcoTalk, continuing our conversation with Shawnee Hoover of Expose Exxon. A very interesting development. Interesting from, lots of risk for the green mill point of view, but not so encouraging for America's future. We're talking about the appointment of Lee Raymond to chart the future of America's energy course. And that's, well, obviously an appointment that has gotten a lot of people upset. Some 60,000 letters of protest have come in. Before we finish the interview, we're going to tell you how you can send a few more, just in case Exxon is not listening yet. So, Shawnee, who is Exxon selling out besides the American people with these record profits and with these appointments and with what they're focusing on and what they're not focusing on, as you were saying when we went to the break, not investing in renewable energy?
Right. Well, really they're doing a disservice not only, of course, to the nation, of course, because they're, you know, stunting the speed in which alternatives or energy alternatives are becoming available to the market, but they're also really holding their employees back from putting their talents to use in developing innovative solutions and critical know-how for the company that's going to make the, you know, that would make the company more competitive in the future. Clearly, ExxonMobil is choosing short-term profits and this kind of short-term mentality over the long-term. However, they are what they say is that they are investing in, they're taking their profits, they're investing them in oil rigs and other equipment, long-term equipment over the next 30, 40, 50 years because they're so sure that oil is going to be, you know, the main resource that we're going to be using. Clearly, as we know, there's a very wide movement in this country and a very clear understanding of the urgency and the possibility of being able to put American ingenuity to work in overcoming our challenges of transitioning away from oil and onto renewable alternatives.
Which leads me to the next question, and that's, you know, aren't they at all concerned about what people think? We recently had both Terry Tamminen, that's Arnold Schwarzenegger's former environmental advisor, and also Christine Todd Whitman on this week, former EPA head under Bush. And I can't imagine that even as Republicans, they would condone this type of short-sighted greed. I mean, nobody does, and yet they get away with it over and over and over again. I mean, this is, we've got an election coming up. You know, aren't they concerned about further backlash against Republicans in general?
You know, they are. I'm not sure that they're concerned politically just yet, but they definitely are concerned about their image. Since we've launched the campaign, they've been doing surveys, public surveys, to find out what people think of their environmental record, and they ask specifically in those surveys if the person has received any emails regarding ExxonMobil, either pro or con. That's very interesting. And they also put out these ads in the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post, New York Times, that are essentially really trying to say, you know, we're not causing hurricanes, we're not causing global warming, or we're paying taxes and the profit's not that big of a deal. So they're concerned about their image. They're primarily concerned about their image on profits and greed. Now, politically,
yet they
I think
nothing to improve that image.
Yeah,
they just keep feeding it.
Yeah, no, they have not taken any steps whatsoever to improve the image. None.
Okay.
And that's why this campaign is really particularly important. This Expose Exxon campaign, because we're going directly after the perception of ExxonMobil in people's minds, and whether or not we affect their actual bottom line, which clearly is very difficult to do with an oil company that's in over 200 countries. But we can actually affect the way that they maneuver based on the image and how they're seen, you know, their reputation being tarnished. Of course, we are seeing policies coming up, windfall profits tax and other kinds of policies that could rein in some of these profits and could rein in some of the rogue policies of ExxonMobil on global warming, on renewable energy, such as forcing them to invest in renewable energy.
So let's try to put a positive spin on this disturbing, yet another disturbing story. Take a glass half full or maybe tank half full approach. What successes has Expose Exxon been proud of so far?
Well,
how do you know you're making a difference?
We have had over 500,000 people join the campaign and send a letter to ExxonMobil pressuring them to change their policies on global warming and renewable energy, stop trying to drill in the Arctic, and to pay back what it owes for the Exxon Valdez disaster. And those, I think that those have been making an impact. We've had hundreds of gas station protests and thousands of letters to the editor. We've really been working. All those people have been helping to get the word out that ExxonMobil is really standing apart from all the other oil giants. And we have a problem with oil industry in this country anyway.
Okay. So the effective grassroots approach is working. We just have a little less than a minute. Tell our listeners how they can send a few more letters to the Energy Department.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope people will. There's a take action on our website. It's www.exposeexxon.com. And you'll see it, take action. You just click on that, and you can send a letter to Energy Secretary Samuel Bodman. Now,
we'll put a link on our website.
Perfect.
Okay, we're out of time. Shawnee Hoover, thank you so much. And Expose Exxon's campaign is sponsored in part by the Union of Concerned Scientists. They're one of the coalitions involved, and we're also partnered with the Union of Concerned Scientists, and they're a science-based nonprofit combining independent research and citizen action to achieve innovative solutions for a healthy environment and safer world. We'll be back right after the news break.
A liberal dose of the truth.
gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it, extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is, riding on the bus with poor people. New rule, call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Halls Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it,
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy. See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you get all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
If Romney gets the nomination, the tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott! It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Play perfectly. I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club, and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly. Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA four-diamond casino resort. Just join the Cash Club, and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit cashcreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
Welcome back to EcoTalk. It is my great pleasure to welcome Adam Browning back to the EcoTalk studio, and he is the co-founder and director of the Vote Solar Initiative. You may have heard about it. It's a nonprofit organization with the mission of bringing solar energy into the mainstream. Hallelujah. Before getting involved in shedding the light on sunbeams, Adam spent 8 years with the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's San Francisco office, where he won the agency's top pollution prevention award. I didn't know that. congratulations.
Thank you much.
And congratulations on all your great work. There was just a conference in the South Bay area on solar, and I hear it was just, it's getting bigger every year. It's like the green building movement.
Absolutely.
Which it's part of course.
Yes, that you're referring to Solar Power 2006, the annual conference of the Solar Energy Industries Association. And just to let you know, this was really kind of a coming of age for solar. I went to the same conference 4 years ago, and there were 300 people in a dingy ballroom in Reno. This year there were 6,000 people, and all in blue suits. It was really
with green aspirations.
Exactly. Well put.
And Silicon Valley is really investing in the solar industry, big time.
Oh, big time.
As they should. I mean, it's a perfect match.
You know, the energy industry is the biggest industry that there is. We are always going to need energy.
And are we always going to depend on the sun, or is that threatened too?
I would say that we can depend on the sun for as long as is relevant. If the sun's not around to give us solar energy, it's going to be the least of our concerns.
If the smog gets that bad, let's hope it doesn't. So there's a lot going on in solar, including an election.
There is a lot going on in solar. This is the fastest growing new energy source in the world. And right now in the U.S. anyway, we're seeing all the leadership really coming from at the state level. California blazed the way this year with the California Solar Initiative, an effort to provide $3.3 billion to incentivize the equivalent of 1 million solar roofs in the state over the next 10 years. Absolutely breathtaking, largest solar program in the U.S. and will fundamentally change the economics of solar going forward.
And Arizona is also starting to catch on.
Arizona, absolutely. If there's any state where solar is a famed resource, it would be Arizona. And leadership is happening there at the Corporation Commission. This is the regulatory body that regulates the utilities. It's a 5-member commission, and today, on Friday, they are having a vote that would significantly expand the requirement for renewable energy in the state. And a large portion of that requirement would have to come from distributed generation resources. And we think that most of that would come from rooftop solar.
Okay, and the renewable energy rule is what's being voted on?
That's what's being voted on right now.
Is there a downside to that?
Well, if you consider clean air, hedge against volatile fuel prices, and fighting global warming a downside, then yes, I guess you could make that argument.
So this will pass? I mean, who would be against this?
Well, change is difficult. Not everybody wants to see change. There are a lot of entrenched interests that would just assume that we stay on the current course for
maybe
a little while longer.
Maybe they should watch the movies about Katrina, rerun those, and say, do we want to see that kind of change coming?
I would agree, but I do think that public opinion is shifting. I mean, there is a strong public support for seeing this happen. There was a poll in Arizona recently where well over 80% of the people would pay extra on the utility bills if it meant that they got more renewable energy. They are making the connection between developing energy independence, between fighting global warming, and investing in renewable energy resources.
So you think enough people are willing to pay that extra nominal premium, really?
Well, you know, and it may or may not be a premium. At the same time that we're talking about we want to have a little extra investment into renewable energy resources, the cost of fossil fuels has skyrocketed. So this particular effort in Arizona would add $1 a month to most ratepayers. APS, the largest utility in the state, is asking for a rate increase that would add $32 a month. And that's mostly because the cost of natural gas has tripled since 2001. So you can very much see this as actually a cost savings.
And clearly we need to get off oil. That's what this is in part, large part, about. Proposition 87 coming up on the California ballot, that could really change the landscape. Do you think that is going to pass? A lot of money poured into both sides.
There is an awful lot of money poured into both sides, and the stakes couldn't be higher. Will it pass? Will it not pass? It seems to be pulling pretty neck and neck. I sure hope that it does pass, because this is absolutely the right thing at the right moment right now.
How often do you see, you know, former president and former vice president on TV promoting a California state proposition, and yet we've seen Clinton and Gore all over the TV here?
And it's because they recognize what a historic opportunity we have here. So Prop 87 would provide a tax on oil drilling in the state and then use that money, up to $4 billion over 10 years, to pay for petroleum reduction initiatives. The goal is 25% reduction in the usage of gasoline. That's about 4 billion gallons a year, and that's no small potatoes.
You just had a big demonstration in San Francisco. Was it 487?
It was indeed 487. We just we wanted to have a little fun with this here. We figured that the phrase addicted to oil is something that resonated with people. So we're framing this as if we're addicted to oil, then Prop 87 is the prescription for our addiction. So on that theme, we had a bunch of airplanes pulling banners flying overhead, and we did buy carbon offsets from Bonneville Environmental Foundation.
Good for you.
This was a carbon
environmentally correct demonstration.
Absolutely. That emphasized that message. So, you know, CPR for the electric car, prescription for our oil addiction, yes on 87, that message. And at the same time, we had a rally in the Ferry Plaza here in San Francisco.
Well attended?
Well attended. We had a bunch of people dressed up as doctors, nurses. They were with prescription pads that talked about, that prescribed Prop 87 for our oil addiction, and you know, appropriate warnings that this may have side effects such as, fighting global warming, cleaning our air, et cetera, et cetera.
I'm reminded of David, the great late David Brower, his CPR for the planet, which was conservation, preservation, and restoration. A good prescription.
You know, I hadn't thought of that connection, but I'm sure it was just...
You can add it to the next demonstration.
Yeah.
You could use that sign.
So we had a bunch of plug-in hybrids there, a bunch of electric vehicles. The whole idea was that we wanted to create a press opportunity. And so we did get some TV. We got some... actually some Chinese press, which was really wonderful as well.
China needs some solutions to their pollution and CO2 problems.
They do indeed. They do indeed.
We just have a couple minutes left. Tell us about what it was like working inside the EPA in the 9th District in San Francisco.
Region 9, right.
Region 9,
yeah.
Right.
You know what? I am forever grateful for that opportunity. It really gave me an insider's view of how regulation works and where it doesn't meet the challenge. Really had a wonderful time there.
You won an award, as I said in the introduction, for pollution prevention. What did you do to get that recognition?
Well, that was work that I did with a team of folks looking at mercury emissions from mines in Arizona. In Nevada. These were heap leach gold mines that, unbeknownst to anyone really, were releasing quite a bit of mercury. And we put together a program that reduced about 9,000 pounds of mercury air emissions a year. Pretty proud of that.
Arizona was on my mind the last couple of weeks because I was in Phoenix for a conference on higher education and sustainability. It was the first week in October, and it was 101 degrees when we landed at 5:30 in the afternoon. It is so hot there, and the sun just blazes down. It's hard to imagine any roof without solar panels to take advantage of that.
I couldn't agree more. Just one element here of caution here. It's not so much how much sunshine that you have that drives the economics of solar. It's how much that electricity that you produce is worth. Right now, the leading country in solar is Germany. Germany has half the amount of sunshine that we do here
in the U.S. I guess I'm thinking that can help... that can lead into the grid that is feeding these air conditioners, which if it's 101 at 5:30, you know, first week in October, can only imagine how much of the year those air conditionings are blasting. And I don't blame them. I mean, I never put it on in the Bay Area. I roll down my window. It's nice fresh air from the bay and the ocean, but you have to there just to function.
This is true. It's not an environment that's particularly hospitable to live in. and you know what? The environment there is changing. 10 years ago, you could use evaporative coolers to cool your house. You didn't have to have, you know, this would cool the air just through evaporation.
I heard about those when I was there.
Well, they don't work so well there anymore, or at least the older technologies, and that's because they've so many golf courses, so many lawns. You've actually changed, the people have changed the degree of humidity there.
And the sun beating down on the cement makes it even hotter, that
makes
feedback
it hotter
loop.
And less dry. The evaporative coolers don't work quite as
one
well.
One bright spot, we've got to always end with some good news. Arizona State University has a new sustainability program, and they're really looking into making Phoenix a model of sustainability, figuring if Phoenix, you know, can be sustainable, then any place can, because they have the challenges you just mentioned and more.
For all you young folks out there, this is a growth industry. Mm-hmm. Things are really changing right now. Yesterday or tomorrow is going to look a lot different than today looks.
Hopefully a lot brighter. Thanks in large part to work like yours. Thank you, Adam Browning, with the Vote Solar Initiative, trying to brighten America's future one solar cell at a time. Stay with us. When we come back, you'll hear about what one little dime, one thin dime, can do to help your environment.
In movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... New rule, no more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
The color pink represents the promise to find a cure for breast cancer. That promise started the Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation and ignited the passion of millions to create a world without breast cancer. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We are reaching out to you to make a difference this month by making a personal donation to the Komen Foundation and by showing your passion for the cure by wearing pink one or more days in October. Anything you can do to heighten the awareness of this cause can make a difference. To share your promise and to donate funds to our passion, log on to 1320 Left Channel.
It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes.
At the truth, AM 1320.
It's a series of truths.
listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to stackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's stackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Talk.
Thanks for having me.
Green Dimes. I like it. It seems very simple, and I wonder how it's catching on. You've only been out there about a month, but I found you. You found me. I found you, actually. You didn't contact me, just to compliment you on getting out there quickly.
Yeah, I mean, it's been good so far. So, you know, we're up and running and actively working to fulfill all of our members' needs, and we're happy with the progress so far.
Now, you were very successful in Silicon Valley. How did you go from the tech world to the green world?
Was there
an eco-epiphany of some sorts?
There was, I guess, this year. You know, I started to read more and more on all the different websites and media outlets about all the things going wrong with the environment, and I really just got frustrated, I guess, in the end, that I wanted somebody to tell me what to do to make a difference and help, because I'm acknowledging it's an issue.
Oh, you didn't know about EcoTalk. That's what we do here
every day. Now I know.
Now you know.
So I really wanted to do something to focus on the good and try to figure out if capitalism and social good can coexist and try to make it run as something that can make a big difference.
And why Green Dimes?
Why the concept?
Yeah, I mean, where did that come from?
I got irritated with my junk mail. You know?
That's how I got into this 10 years ago. That's truly what started my obsession.
Yeah, great. So, you know, I live in Palo Alto, which is a relatively green city, and went to their website to try to figure out how to stop my junk mail, and it was not an easy thing to do, and thought, hey, if we can bring scale to this and help other people do the same thing, like, can't be the only one who cares about this. Maybe it's a good business. And that was really the genesis behind it.
Let's talk about junk mail. It's not just the paper and the trees, and as I talk often about the dioxin as a byproduct of that bleaching process, it's also lots of water. 28 billion gallons of water needed to make all the paper used for junk mail. Just a couple of other facts for you. The typical American household receives about 70 pounds of junk mail a year, and paper makes up a third of the 235 million tons of waste that we Americans send to landfills each year. And who wants it? Do you know, I've never met anyone who says, I want that, you know, bulk mail, more junk mail.
I haven't met that person either. So I think that's one of the reasons we're in a good spot at a good time.
Well, I like that you will do the work for us because, you know, we busy working mom type, saving the planet in our spare time. You know, there's always, you know, places that tell you what to do, but you've got to call or write three or four places. And I have to admit, I haven't gotten around to doing that yet. And it's my pet peeve. So you make it simple.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the point behind the company is we want to help consumers do simple things that collectively will make a big difference.
So is getting rid of junk mail or reducing it anyway just the beginning? Do you have other plans to expand?
Yeah, we do. So we're going to start giving people more flexibility, not only of what we do on their behalf. So in a month or so, you'll be able to not only choose where your trees get planted, but if you'd rather have money donated to supporting wind farms or other environmental causes, you'll be able to choose from a longer list. And we're also, the next service we're going to launch is start giving people two canvas bags with their membership. So
fabulous.
It'll cut down on the number.
That's
of
another one of those simple things, you know, paper or plastic. The answer is neither.
Cloth bags.
You know, people use, okay, now since I'm going through my pet peeves, the top three are the two you mentioned. The other is wire hangers, people who actually throw them away when they accumulate too many.
Right.
Since it carried home a clean shirt or dress, you know, and it's still clean, why throw away perfectly good metal so they can mine for more metal to make more hangers to carry it home from the dry cleaners? So,
no, I haven't spent any time thinking about that.
I'll work on that one with you.
Ideal.
Actually, we did a campaign with the National Waste Prevention Coalition on that about 8 years ago. I think we made a dent, but this really, all of this needs to be done on a much, you know, broader scale. So how are you reaching out to Americans to let them know about your service?
So in the past month, we've really just started to lay the marketing foundation, and one of the things that we're trying to be better at is getting interviews like this done.
Mm-hmm.
And then also work with companies and universities that are trying to get into the green world. One of the advantages we bring, I think, is that this is like a very tangible, measurable benefit for people who sign on. So it's not some mythical, like, hey, give me $100 and you'll be more green because we'll do 10 things for you. It's like, hey, we're going to stop your junk mail. We're going to save this much water. We're going to plant this many trees. So we're working with a lot of companies, public and private, that are going to help us market this.
Okay, since we're getting concrete and specific, I'm just curious, what type of trees do you plant, and did you say it's up to the member to decide where that tree will go?
So right now it's not up to the member. We're launching that in the third week of November. So right now the trees are planted in Haiti, Senegal, and in India. We work with a tree planting partner that's been around for decades, and we'll have a press release about that in a couple of weeks. And we're actively working with other tree planting companies to broaden the regions, I guess, that we cover.
This is, reminds me of something that those of us who went to Sunday school for Jewish, you know, remember giving dimes to plant a tree in Israel. That's a big effort there. And when I first went to Israel when I was 16, I was amazed at, even though, you know, Israel is a bit of an oasis, it is in the desert and all the green trees. And I said, my goodness, they really are planting trees for all these dimes. Of course, dimes went further back then.
Yep, absolutely.
So that's really exciting. And tell us where we can find you on the web.
www.greendimes.com.
Okay, and so, you know, dime doesn't buy much anymore. It doesn't even do any good in the meters that I have to fill constantly with quarters in downtown San Francisco. Can't think of a better way to spend a dime, one thin dime, a dime a day, and that's really all it is.
Yeah,
I guess,
that's it.
I guess people could probably give you more than $3 a month if they really wanted to see you accelerate your efforts.
Yeah, if people want us to charge them more, they should email us and let us know.
So you were, again, a high-tech you know, whiz and very successful. Is this something that's taking up most of your time now? Are you really, you know, throwing yourself into this?
Yeah, I'm taking up all of my time. I funded the company on my own, and we've got a great team of people, and we're all working day and night to make sure this is a success.
Other former techies working with you?
They are other former techies.
I love these stories. You know, there are a lot of high-tech folks who have gone into solar industry, you know, putting panels up on rooftops, and, you know, we just were talking about solar in the last segment, but it's really a nice transition. It's sort of like people, you know, they made a lot of money, and then they said, how can I give back? And a lot of them are choosing to do something environmentally proactive, and I can't think of a better way to spend your time and money. So thank you for doing what you're doing.
Oh, thank you.
We've been speaking with I've gotten your name right so far. Pankaj Shah, is that right?
Perfect.
Okay.
Yep.
And we're going to be talking more about green dimes because it's an idea I surely like. And we're also going to give you a tip today from Nerdy Books. The type of plants you buy, speaking of planting trees, impact the amount of water you use. A way to reduce your water use is to choose drought-resistant plants, use native plants whenever possible, or indigenous plants, and plants suited to your area. This can save more than 50% of the water normally used to care for outdoor plants and group plants that have similar water needs altogether. We just want to help you conserve our precious resources. Practice compassionate conservation. George Bush talked about compassionate conservatism. I don't think anyone's figured out what that is, but conserving is more than a virtuous act, as Dick Cheney says. I'm Betsy Rosenberg. Thank you for joining us for this edition of EcoTalk. I want to thank my producer, Will Craven, for making such great shows for us each and every day. If you'd like to listen to some segments you missed or perhaps see what we've done in the past, you can find our audio archives at www.ecotalk.net. It's free to download them. Tell your friends about EcoTalk, because what we do here applies to you and everyone you know. Hoping to make it a better world tomorrow.
Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother...